Peterson Shoes.
Good luck. That man had the biggest feet I've ever seen.
Bob from accountants knows cost analysis and budgeting inside out.
But he's a temporary.
We could hire him full-time.
Full-time?
And this will all be his.
Can I just pretend for a sec?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
For a second day, the path of most of the world's stock markets could be determined by Slovakia. The only member of the European Union yet to approve the aggressive financial rescue of Greece voted the measure down yesterday. But with a few amendments taken out, the measure is expected to pass Slovakia's parliament today and remove a major headwind of uncertainty from Europe's debt crisis. Japan's Nikkei slipped 0.5% today, but lower European markets have turned higher within the past hour. Same story with U.S. futures. S&P futures gaining 13, NASDAQ futures up 23. The market was expecting a bumpy earnings reporting season, and so far that is what it's getting. Aluminum maker Alcoa posting its third quarter results after yesterday's closing bell, the first major company to report July through September earnings. Profit was almost three times that of a year ago, but less than the second quarter, also less than expected. Economic uncertainty causing a sales slowdown and a price crash for construction materials. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Origin's Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I had taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
So, wondering, have you ever been in a long-distance relationship?
Oh, yeah, I'm in one right now.
Really? How far?
135,000 miles.
What?
Yeah, that's how far I can go with the warranty on my Mercedes.
Purchase a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz right now with an optional extended limited warranty, and your vehicle may be covered for up to 7 years or 135,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz undergoes rigorous inspections by factory-trained technicians to meet the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And it also comes with roadside assistance and 3 months of Sirius satellite radio. So along with our 135,000-mile extended limited warranty, we extend this invitation. Come in for exceptional financing on our certified pre-owned vehicles today. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned.
See dealer or call 1-800-F4-MERCEDES for complete program, including certified pre-owned extended limited warranty and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. A pleasure to be with you on this bright and early Wednesday morning. Plenty to get to today. Hope you're doing well. We're supposed to have some rain later on today and tomorrow and Friday. But that's okay because we don't control that part of it. You really can't complain. The last 5 or 6 days have just been glorious weather-wise. I know I've enjoyed them a great deal, although I don't get out much in the during the day in my little cubby. But that's all right. I'm not going to complain because we'll have nasty weather soon enough. How y'all doing this morning? You looking good. I got to tell you, from where I'm sitting, y'all look great. We have got a great show lined up for you today. A little after 7 o'clock, Erica Nader-Colston will be joining us. You'll recall a few weeks back, we visited the topic of changing the auto no-fault insurance laws that reportedly would make it cheaper for you to have automobile insurance, although there's no guarantee that that would happen, if we change how we the limits, the caps on legal liability, medical liability. Well, you know, we're going to revisit that and revisit it and revisit it, although the legislature was set to vote on it. They delayed that vote, but that doesn't mean we don't need to be educated on why we don't want to change the laws the way they are today. And so we'll visit with Erica in the 7 o'clock hour. Joining us a little after 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, joins us. We're going to revisit the topic of the bridge to Canada. There is some news on that today, and a few other topics as well. So that's what we've got. That's what we've got planned, and God only knows what else will happen along the way. But let's get things going right now.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
I don't know. You know, I was thinking long and hard. What should the first word be today? I wanted it to be this really great, you know, shocking, wonderful word, and nothing was coming to mind, and then it hit me. You know, maybe the first word today should be word. Words, actually, in the plural. You know, using words is important. There's no question. It's what I make a living doing. It's what we all use to communicate. But choosing them and using them are two very different things, as I think we can all agree. We've got, amongst the words that we're going to be using today, shock will be one of them. Disgust will be another one. And there are going to be a variety of words. Perhaps I'll even pull out my thesaurus. The bottom line is we are not making progress in this country. And is it the words that are getting in the way? Is it philosophy? Is it ideology? I don't know, but I do know this. It is the words that we use that will ultimately change the game. And the game needs to be changed, and it needs to be changed ASAP. So today's first word are words. Choose them wisely and use them as often as needed. All right, all right. Good morning, Mr. Radford. I hope that the world finds you in a copacetic place this morning. Copacetic, there's a word for you.
Boy, you're just ripping the words out today.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, actually, Tigers win, so today's a much better day than the day before.
Well, I'll be honest with you, because I did stay up a little later on Monday night, and I just wasn't up for doing an extended evening last night. So I actually went to bed at 9 o'clock. Which was not too terribly far into the game. So I had no idea what to expect. I really couldn't get a feel for the game by 9 o'clock. I'm, of course, still very concerned about our offense. Although we did win, our Tigers did win. You do have to, I still feel a little concerned with the offense. And then what's going on with Victor Martinez? Is the guy injured? Was it just a little tweak? Will he be okay today? What's going on?
Yeah, who knows? That's the problem. But you know what? I agree, actually, about the offense. Because it seems like, you know, in college basketball or even in basketball, you can live and die with a three-pointer. And the problem is when you're on, you know, you're going to be unstoppable. When you can't hit anything, then you have nothing else to rely on. And it seems like the Tigers with home runs lately is that way. I'd like to see them manufacture a few more. And in the playoffs, if you can manufacture runs, you can hang around, and really it seems like, you know, the blowout losses, the Tigers do have a lot of blowout losses. But in close games, you would need to manufacture a few runs and just, you know, get people on, move runners over, do the little things to get runs scored, and you can't live and die by the home run, so that's what has me worried.
Well, you know, the front page of the Free Press, the headline today says, Tigers bats wake up in Game 3 win. And I'm going, really? Really? They woke up? Where? You know, I realize we got a couple home runs, and that's fine. But
well, the two of the biggest people that are struggling, Austin had three hits, and Miguel Cabrera was 2 of 4. So that's, you know, there's where the people, you know, are the two people I was worried about, and I think jumpstart the offense in this series are those two people.
Well, you know, they are calling for rain. The game is this afternoon, about 4:30. They are calling for rain this afternoon. They're not. I don't know at this point if they're calling for the kind of rain that could threaten the game or not. The last thing we need is a rain delayed, or, you know, having to put this one off for some reason. I don't know that that benefits us. Of course, we don't know that Delmon Young will be back today. We could desperately use, but we need a healthy Delmon Young. And honestly, Jeff, if he can't come back 100%, he probably shouldn't.
Yeah, that's the key. You said it best. You need a healthy one. Because I mean, 60% Delmon Young, is that better than 100%?
Andy Dirks?
Yeah, that's it's hard to say that. But, yeah, I mean, is a 60% Delmon Young, because the defense goes down even further. He can't throw the ball in, and he already isn't the greatest defender as it is in the outfield. And then right now, I mean, hitting-wise, yeah, he's decent, but he's been hitting a lot of solo home runs, which I guess isn't his fault. Dirks could probably get on and cause some havoc on the base paths, though.
Yeah, I'm just going to continue to just stay optimistic. We got Rick Porcello on the mound tonight, or this afternoon. And as I said to you when I walked in today, you know, he does have brilliance in him. He really does. I don't know that we're going to get that. And that's the other problem with Rick Porcello, is you don't know what pitcher you're going to get until he starts pitching.
He's the key. I mean, I thought this when I woke up this morning, is, all right, it's 2-1. I had no problem yesterday saying the Tigers can get back in this. It's so far, it's the home field. You know, they got 2 in Texas. The Tigers take the first one in Detroit. If they get past tonight or today, you got Verlander going. The second time around, I like his chances of winning, so that's another win. You can, if they get past today, Porcello wins, I can see them going back to Texas with a 3-2 lead.
Yeah,
but it's all on Ricky P. If they lose today and it's 3-1, you know, fine, give Verlander, you know, give him the win with Verlander, but then you've got to win the next 3 in a row, and that's a tough order.
It is, especially against a Texas ball club whose bullpen has been brilliant. Brilliant. I don't know that anybody's bullpen over the period of innings that they have. I read that over 12 and a third innings, their ERA is like 0.83. I mean, come on. How the hell do you can't, you know, that's it.
Yeah, but
that tells the story.
Is it, and I'm not trying to denounce their greatness, I guess, but is it, it's partly them, but partly it is the fact that we were saying the Tigers' offense is just hasn't been that. Like, I know that they can hit better than they have.
Well,
been
Alex Avila. Alex Avila is an example. I mean, where he has literally been AWOL this entire playoffs.
Yeah, and I wonder, though, I don't know that he's going to come back. I mean, it's a long season for being, to start as many games as he did, and he had that long stretch of not missing a game, and it's basically the first full season he's had catching as much as he has. I don't know that he's going to refresh himself, so I wouldn't rely too much on him, but it's guys like Austin Jackson that need to continue to hit and get on base and not just give up easy three-pitch strikeouts and such.
Yeah, I did read, and I don't know, because I read both papers this morning, the news and the Free Press, so I don't know which one it was, but somebody suggested that now all of a sudden, and I'd not read this previous to this morning, that Alex Avila is having problems with his knees, and I get it, long season, like you just said, all that, but why are we just reading that now? Is there a problem with his knees, or is he just tired? I mean, if he's just tired, I get that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the just tired for right now. I don't think, I haven't heard anything detrimental with the knees. It's just, we still have to remind, I mean, we've said it before, too, he's only been a catcher for a short time. So to get used to catching as much as he's caught this year, and to go through, what was the stretch where he caught how many games in a row without, even if it was a night game and then a day game the next day, he still caught because they didn't have another catcher? It takes some getting used to.
Yeah, no question it does. And he's had a great year, so I don't want to discount that. It'd just be nice if we had his bat a little bit. If he were even, I don't know, batting 200 in the playoffs, but here we go again. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but obviously they won last night. We need to stay optimistic for this afternoon. Again, the benefit of having the afternoon game today is I can watch it. I don't have to worry about going to bed and missing part of the game. So at least I get to watch this one. And
if it doesn't get rained out.
If it doesn't get rained out. Well, that would really, really suck if it got rained out today. I mean, that would really be bad. Although, honestly, both teams could probably use the day off.
Yeah, probably more so them. These days off, I think the Tigers are set up for better off if they just keep playing. And the Texas Rangers could definitely, they love the rest because the bullpen, they're going to use the bullpen so much. If they get a day off in between, then the bullpen has that much more days to, that much more time to rest up. I think it benefits the Tigers to keep playing.
Well, listen, let's just get this thing moving forward, and let's hope tomorrow at this time we're talking about a tied series and good things for Justin Verlander. All right, folks, a lot to get to, including at 6:30, or 6:35 actually, Hank Williams Jr. I can't wait to play that audio for you. We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Tony Truppiano, thanks for punching in. This is 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Chip with Tony Truppiano
on 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking just fine on the freeways right now. We do have a problem, though, on the surface streets, Hoover Road, in both directions at 12 Mile. That entire intersection is shut down because of an accident that knocked over a power pole. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, a 50% chance of rain, cloudy, a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, a chance of drizzle, cloudy once again, a low around 54. And then tomorrow, the showers are back, cloudy, a high in the mid to upper 60s. Right now, it's foggy and 58 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
And now, the bonus round. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, what does presence make?
I want to say crab dip.
Correct. Finish this sequence. Tree, sky.
Transubstantiationalism.
Correct. Ooh. What can you watch instantly with Netflix?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Ma'am, are you crying?
I cry when I'm happy.
Well, that makes two of us.
Attention, homeowners. Put down the pigskin. Lawn season is not over. Fall is when your lawn needs food to build its roots. That's why fall is the best time to feed. And Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard is the food it wants. WinterGuard gives grass a deep Turf Builder feeding, creating stronger roots for a stronger lawn. I repeat, put down the pigskin and pick up a bag of Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard. Then pass the nachos. That concludes this Lawn Desk Alert. More details at scotts.com.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
I'm just so pleased to have on the show this morning Harry Lester, the boy from Bud.
Well, Tony, what I attempted to do, and I hope I did, was to try to actually depict the difference between now and then, or then and now. You know, when you look back at the 30s compared to what we're going through right now, and to let people know that, you know, this standard of living that we haven't always had it. There was a lot of sacrifices made from an awful lot of people to make sure that we had the greatest standard of living that the world's ever known. And that the sacrifices, in many cases, people went to jail, people went to the graveyard, people went to the hospital, and people went on to be leaders and great leaders in their unions and built this great standard of living that we enjoy.
Well, and there's no question, and that certainly is depicted in The Boy from Bud. Of course, that is referring to your hometown, which is Bud, West Virginia.
First Chip with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Truppiano. And First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back 22 minutes after the hour. Want to remind you, this Saturday I will be traveling up to the state capitol in Lansing to MC the Occupy Lansing rally, not the General Assembly, but the rally. And so if you want to come up, I got quite a few calls on this yesterday. Just come on up. That's all you need to do. There's no organized thing. There's nobody putting a bus tour together. Just get yourself up there. Yeah, I got a lot of calls on that yesterday. So so that's Saturday at the state capitol. The Occupy Detroit event, let me go through this real quick because there was some confusion on that as well. On Friday, between 4 and 6, that group will be meeting at the Spirit of Detroit, and then they will be marching over at 6 o'clock to Grand Circus Park, where they will be holding their Occupy. That's simple. That's simple, folks. Don't complicate it any more than what I just gave you. I don't know why people are having trouble with this, but just make it that simple. It really is. If you want to go to the one of the state capitals, Saturday, 10 a.m. is when it starts. That's all you need to know. And if you want to be there at 10. That's it. Anything that happens after that, you'll know it. That's that simple. All right. Speaking of Occupy, I was listening to some and watching some videos yesterday and ran across one. Two Marines were being interviewed by somebody with a camera at the Occupy Wall Street occupation, and this is what they had to say.
Biggest load I've ever heard.
My name's Henry with We Are the Other 99, and I just saw you here with your sign. I wanted to ask you first, start here, the Marine veteran, why it was that you're here at Zuccotti Park.
Different reasons. These wars that are going on, I don't believe in them. I want my brothers and sisters to come back home. The bailout was a farce. Robbed American people.
Okay. And over here to my Army veteran, why is it that you're here? Excuse me. Marine Corps. Why is it that you're here at Zuccotti Park?
Like the other 99%, I've got forced into student loan debt that I'm never going to be able to get out of, because with 2 degrees and a full-time job, I still don't make enough to pay all my bills.
Now, did the GI Bill help with your student loans?
I had to fight for my GI Bill by writing my senator a couple of times, and no, it gave me just enough money to buy books each semester.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to ask both of you now is that just this past week on Friday, Sean Hannity had on a protester, and on his show, he called her un-American and said that protesters are against freedom. I just wanted to give you guys each a chance to respond to that comment.
Well, that's pretty funny. You know, when they have these violent protests overseas, we call them democratic. The people are trying to get theirs. But then as soon as we start doing it here, they call us unpatriotic. So that's very ironic that he would say something like that.
Is there anything that you specifically would tell him if he was here standing in front of you?
I'll tell him off. That's what I would tell him.
All right. And you, the same Sean Hannity, said that protesters here are essentially un-American. What would you say to him if he was here?
I think that's the biggest load I've ever heard. Everybody here loves this country and wants to see it grow and wants to see it better. They love the people. They love their community, their neighbors. There hasn't been racism here or bigotry or anything of that sort. We've all gotten along as one big family. And that's what we want for the rest of the country. All the people who are suffering in debt, all the people who can't speak for themselves or are too afraid to voice their opinion, we are here fighting for their rights. Because that's the oath we swore when we became Marines, and we would defend our people and our country. And I'm going to do it till the day it's over.
You know, and the end of that, Jeff, you know, that's what they said. You know, we took an oath as Marines to defend our country and our Constitution, and that's all they're doing. That's all they're doing, right? That's really what the Occupy movement is about, is defending American values. Is that how you understand it? That's how I get it.
Seems to be right.
Okay. So for Sean Hannity to call this un-American is offensive, I think, at some level. You know, we've really not focused on, we've mentioned it, but not focused on, you know, what's the difference between the origins of the Tea Party and the origins of the Occupy movement. Now, they're very different in regards to the who's doing it. But, you know, the Tea Party was in response to government overspending. And the Occupy movement is in response to, at some level, government overspending. It was overspending within the financial sector, the bailouts to Wall Street, which they not only do not have to pay back, no one, not one person, Jeff, to this day, has been prosecuted as a result of mismanaging billions upon billions upon billions of dollars.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part is it's and the one thing I can't stand is that they say, well, the bailout. I heard someone say the other day, the bailout of Detroit, the bailout of the auto industry.
That was a loan.
Those were loans. Exactly. They were loans. A bailout is when you gave the banks a bunch of money and just said, hey, don't even worry about repaying it. And then, you know, they go on their merry way. When meanwhile, average American citizens need bailouts of their own mortgage because of these crap loans that the banks were giving them. The banks get the bailout, but we have to suffer. That's where I think you know, the Occupy movement got its roots from.
Did you happen to read? I forwarded you that email from Joanne yesterday. Did you happen to read that? It was really lengthy.
I don't remember the name that it was behind. I probably did though.
All right. I mean, it was just it's a very long email, but I'm gonna just briefly go through it because it hits to this. She says, you know, Tony, I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. It's really embarrassing that people don't get what the 99% movement is about. I don't agree with all of the goals, but I do empathize because I know what it's like to live on the edge, losing it all. While I agree in the idea that the market should determine people's wages, there is also the idea that those in position of power should treat other people well. A lot of Republicans like to quote George Washington, who said that our leaders must be just and moral people. But doesn't that include business owners and leaders of all kinds? It's one thing for a bank to exist and its workers to make money, but it's another thing for banks to deliberately go out of their way to take advantage of people for the sake of money. In the world that you and I live in, Tony, that's called fraud, and people go to jail for it. Now, that's just Jeff teasing a little bit. This was a very long email. Brilliantly written, again, a conservative Republican that wrote me, Jeff, to say, I get what the 99% movement is all about. I support the Occupy movement. A Republican. A conservative Republican.
Wow. The next line in that is exactly what we were saying, too. The banks knowingly made bad loans to people, and now they turn around and try and profit on people losing their homes. That's just sick.
Right. And that's exactly what she wrote. That is just sick. And so, when we take a look at this, you know, maybe Jeff, that, you know, there are and more people involved in the Occupy movement, because the Occupy movement is not about political party. It's not about Republicans versus Democrats. That's not what this is about at all. It's about people versus corporate greed. That's what this is about. The people versus corporate greed. And so this gives me great encouragement. That everybody is beginning to understand that if we all come together, we transcend political party, and we work together through this Occupy movement to look for some kind of sanity, we may just find it. I'm optimistic. Now, I got another email I want to share with you. My another guy thinks that the Occupy movement is about something a little different than what Joanne did. Let's take a break. We've got to get to the break. 888-552-3595. Tony Trupiano with you. We'll be back. Stay with us. This is 1310 WDTW.
Well, I need a dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me?
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at that accident. Hoover right at 12 mile. That's got that intersection closed. They knocked down a power pole, so there's power cables everywhere. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a high near 65. Of course, the rain will move in a little bit later on. Still cloudy overnight, low around 54. And then tomorrow, yep, the clouds remain, so does the rain, a high near 66. Friday and Saturday, we're looking at some showers then as well. Right now, it's foggy and 58 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Gather round, children, and I'll tell you another fairy tale. But I must warn you, this one is really, really scary. So hold on to each other. It's about Rick Perry, the swaggering Texas governor who wants very, very much to be the Republican nominee for president. So, to get Republican primary voters to like him, he has been riding all across the country on a big horse he calls money, claiming that he will save people everywhere by shooting down the horror of Romney Care. What's that, you ask?
It's the Massachusetts Health Insurance Plan, developed by Ramblin' Rick's presidential rival, Mitt Romney. Why is it dangerous? Because, explains Perry, it is, quote, the model for socialized medicine. Big bad government should not be involved in health care, he shouts at Republican rallies, declaring that the sainted free market is the best provider of insurance. That's how we do it in Texas, he brags, and here comes the scary part. I'll bring the Texas model to all of America. Ooh, boy, that would not be nice or healthy. Under Pericare, more than 6 million Texans, including 1.3 million children, are left with no health coverage at all, the highest rate of uninsured residents in the country. Also, the price that people must pay for insurance has nearly doubled under Perry's reign, and he has slashed state spending and curbed eligibility for programs to help hard-hit families get health services, including cutting 200,000 Texas children out of a program to assure that low-income youngsters get health care. So, children, beware of yee-hawing Texas politicos spreading tales of free market miracles. Texans themselves find nothing miraculous about Pericare, referring to it as the yo-yo plan. You're on your own. This is Jim Hightower saying, luckily, though, people can write their own happy ending to this scary fairy tale. Just don't vote for it.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
The headline reads, Senator Stabenow responds to Chinese threat over bill to crack down on currency manipulation. Thank you for your leadership on this issue.
It really is enough is enough. We know we have a complicated relationship with China. We know that we borrow for them to pay our debt, but we're also their largest consumer market. They need us too, and we've not exercised our own strengths to push back.
First with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. Tweet. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after the hour, 888-552-3595. We are going to go to the phone. Feel free to join us on this early Wednesday morning. Let us welcome Dave in Farmington to First Shift. And Dave, thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
The reporting on the Occupy movement, I've noticed three, 4 weeks ago when I was first getting organized that the way that was being described as this is a bunch of unorganized kids that didn't know what they want, and nobody seems to know what they want or what it's about. And then over the weeks, you know, it was starting to vilify it one way or another. And I noticed the last couple of days, the way they're painting it is, you know, it's like a big hippie movement. People are down there having sex and doing drugs.
Yeah, not so much, Dave.
Yeah, really, I'm disappointed because I thought I'd be able to go down and have some free sex and drugs.
Yeah, not so much, Dave.
That's unfortunate. But it's, you know, and it occurred to me when I heard your opening is, you know, it seems to be a kind of a pattern going on here. You know, when you don't like something, you know, you figure out how to slander it, how to minimize it at first. Then if the minimalization doesn't work, then we're going to talk about how immoral it is.
Absolutely. You're right. It goes right into that show open that we did at the top of the hour. Well, listen, David, at the end of the day, thank you for your call. At the end of the day, and this is the part that really kind of grates at me, the truth rarely has anything to do with the way the mainstream media presents things. And had they been covering this from day one, they would know, you know, what it was all about. And it's not that they're even playing catch-up. They're not even playing catch-up. They're not even attempting to give the truth of what's going on. And you know, again, I said it. I'll take some responsibility in that as well. I wasn't covering this early on either. And I've admitted to having my own confusion with what the Occupy movement is. But it, at the end of the day, it's about fiscal sanity, and it's about holding people responsible for fraud and acts of crime against other Americans, and that's exactly what happened. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Tom in Detroit. Tom, my good friend, how are you this morning? Thanks for punching
in. I'm well, Tony. How about yourself?
Well, listen, if you saw the list of stories that are in front of me, not a whole lot of good news here, Tom.
What Tom Brokaw said, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah, that's it.
But anyway, that aside, but going to the American Jobs Act, I mean, you know, here we have legislation proposed by the president that has, you know, for lack of a vernacular, stuff from both parties in terms of what he wants to do, in terms of the president, what he wants to do to get people back to work. And, I mean, just as the adage says, Nero fiddled while Rome burned, them damn legislators down there, simply due to the fact that they want to see President Obama just be a one-term president, they're down there, you know, got the violins and the fiddles out, and they're playing it like crazy.
Well, you know, the vote last night was 50 to 49, ended up being 51-49 because Harry Reid had to vote against it for procedural reasons. The bottom line is they needed 60 votes. They didn't get them. They weren't going to get them, and they knew that. Tom, the question that we, of course, continue to ask, you and I, when are we going to see progress?
Exactly. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, you know, this is not what you call a Mexican standoff. I mean, you know, take your egos, put them in your back pocket, and sit on them, and go ahead and come to the table and, you know, into the fine art of compromise. You know, meet the man halfway. I mean, because people in this country, they are, you know, they're starving for lack of work to be able to, you know, go out and buy food and to pay bills and, you know, keep a roof over their head. And, you know, these guys down there, 100 and what, whatever it is they make, I know it's 150 plus thousand dollars a year. You got the best, you know, insurance, medical insurance in the country. And, I mean, you know, those who are, you know, less, and I can't get the thing straight right there, but, you know, they are sitting there, they've got those people held hostage, and they've had them held hostage for too long, even like with the debt ceiling. I mean, you know, you're sitting there with a gun to the head, all right, and you're playing Russian roulette with that situation.
Well, yeah,
so, I mean, you know, I wish these guys would go ahead, get their act together, and just go ahead and get this thing passed so people can get back to
work.
Well,
they didn't pass it. They're not going to pass. Tom, thank you for your call. They're not going to pass it. Now the president says that he's going to break the bill down, try to get some of it through. None of this is a surprise, but it is awfully discouraging, and it's because of acts like this from the Senate. Voting against something that would have provided 1.9 million jobs, that maybe this Occupy movement is being fanned. We've had enough. I mean, we have had enough, and this is a populist movement, and now all of a sudden the Occupy movement has become an umbrella for all the issues that need to be addressed. I'm down with that. I'm absolutely down with that. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Jay in Detroit to First Shift. Jay, good morning. What's on your mind today?
Morning, Tony. How you doing?
Well, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Excellent show. Just calling about the Occupy movement. I'm down with it, and I think that they should actually be hitting some of these issues that are occurring right now, like finding out what senators voted against this and taking a stand against them. And also trying to get control of the vote, get away from those machines that can be manipulated. Some of the local issues, too, like our emergency financial manager petition.
Mm-hmm.
That I think they've got to hit the current issues and the postal the legislation, you know, against the post office that's about to kill 120,000 jobs. Try to hit these issues as they're sitting here right in our face.
Well, Jay, the good news, and I think that as we see the Occupy movement grow, the good news is more and more common, average, everyday people are getting involved, getting engaged, they're standing up, they're stepping up, and ultimately that is really good news. And if it grows to the point where it can no longer be ignored, and it is growing to that point because the media is now paying attention. You know, to what degree is it's different by media outlet and they're reporting it in their own way. I mean, Fox News is going out of their way to paint this as some kind of ultra-liberal, hippie, you know, sex and drug fest, as Dave said earlier. That's just not true. We just played audio from two Marines who are supporting the Occupy movement because they took an oath when they became members of the United States military to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And, you know, we have something called the First Amendment that gives us access and gives us the right to peaceful protest, to peaceful assembly. Now, we need to change things. Now, I had said, I got another email, so let me go to this email from Bill. This is what Bill wrote. I'm a workers' compensation lawyer who represents almost exclusively employees. I live on the front lines of the changes in our lives and economy during the last 35 years. As a child, I was on the front lines when my father unsuccessfully attempted to organize a union. I believe I have a handle on what's occurring. He writes, the Occupy movement is a direct result of the Wall Street bailout that failed to help the average person. It is also a direct result of the Supreme Court opinion that said that corporations are people and therefore can contribute to massive sums to influence elections. There was a frustration that the rich are getting richer and the poor don't have a chance. Everyone knows that our problems stem from the fact that the legislators and courts are purchased by the highest bidder. To run for office, you either have to be extremely wealthy or very good at asking for money. No one gives money without expecting something in return. As a lawyer, I appear before judges who have had to accept campaign contributions in order to have a chance of winning an election. Those same people who contribute to these judges appear in court. The judge is expected to disregard the fact that certain individuals put them in office. That's a question, of course. There is no respect for the system because everyone knows that the legislation and the decisions go to the highest bidder. Also, there is the fact that when decisions are made not to improve the country and to achieve justice, but instead to allow the politician to win the next election, the country goes to hell. That is the reason that our jobs have been allowed to be sent overseas and our quality of life is steadily eroding. Bill goes on to write, the only solution is for the public to demand that the public funding, the public funding of all elections. That will never happen without a massive social movement. You cannot expect the legislation to pass law, the legislators to pass laws requiring the public financing of elections and to criminalize handing money to a politician because those same politicians owe debt to those who put them in office. The people who put them in office are those who brought the legislature and courts. You cannot expect the politicians to cut off the source of their success. He closes by saying, therefore, the end game, the ultimate goal of this Occupy movement must be to demand the public financing of all elections. I realize that this is somewhat utopian. However, both of us have lived through eras when government and those in power were brought to their knees by social movement and initially were thought not to stand a chance. Locally, the Woodward Dream Cruise, that is about as an institutionalized event as can be imagined, started out with a simple idea that caught on. There is no other way that our disaster is ever going to end. The Occupy movement must grasp this concept and start demanding the public financing of elections. That is the end game. Your thoughts, 888-552-3595. Occupy First Shift, at least the phone lines anyway. We'll take the break. We'll be back. Stay with us. This is 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle-class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
How much could you be saving on car insurance? $300, $400, $500? There's a real easy way to find out. Just go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. I actually have breaking news. Breaking news. UAW has literally just announced that they have a tentative agreement with Chrysler. And they will be holding a press conference a little later on this morning at 11:30 a.m. But they have just literally 2 minutes ago sent a press release to the media that they have reached a tentative agreement with the Chrysler Group LLC, and that they will be having a press conference at 11:30 this morning. So congratulations, I guess, are in order. We'll wait to see how that all plays out a little later on today. But literally just hitting the media as we speak. There's a tentative agreement between the United Auto Workers and Chrysler. That will, of course, close the loop on the big three here in Detroit. If all of those agreements are ratified as they are expected, not without some fight, then that will be behind us at this point. But that is the news as of 51 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock. How do you like that for breaking news? Jeff, I even checked the news in the Free Press. They don't even have it yet.
Look at you. You're on top of this.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe the UAW is showing me a little bit of favoritism here. We're getting me this news. I got it by email. So anyway, hopefully that's good news. Back to the Occupy movement and Jeff, the listener Bill's email about public financing of elections. This has been an ongoing issue. Jeff, as you know, as this audience knows, I ran for Congress in the year 2006. I spent 80% of my time as a candidate begging people for money. It sucked. It sucked a lot because I wasn't good at it. It's really, really hard to talk to people about giving you money. Now, 2006 was truly the very beginning of the major downturn in the economy, although we had seen it sliding to that point. It had just started to really hurt. And trust me when I tell you, as a candidate for Congress, you ask everybody, their brother, their mother, their sister, their cousins, and everybody else in between for money, whether it's $5, $100, $1,000. I think the max back then was $2,100. I know it's higher today. It's difficult. It's difficult. And if you're not good at raising money, Bill's right. If you don't raise money, you're not going to get elected. And if we had public financing of elections, it basically would work like this, Jeff. If you're running for Congress, you would get, and I'm just going to use round numbers. I don't know what the actual numbers would be. You would get so much money in the general or in the primary and so much money in the general that would be provided to you as a candidate, and then you would have to budget that money and use that money accordingly. Now, you would not be able to then, nor would you have to, go out and raise money for your candidacy. That's the way it would work. So if you were to be nominated, I think in the primary you would actually have to raise your own money, but there would be a cap on it. And then in the general, it would totally be even dollars. So if you and I were running against each other, and of course, Jeff, we can assume you would win. Let's just assume that up front. We would both have $100,000 to use, and then we need to decide how to best use that to get the attention of the voters to get them to vote for us. That's how it works.
I kind of like that.
Okay. A lot of people kind of like that, except those that are in office, because they had to fight. You know, I kind of equated a little bit to the fight of ending at the state level their health care benefits. Everybody likes the idea as long as it doesn't have to apply to them. And so people that even are in office will be, trust me, politicians don't enjoy, some do, but most don't enjoy raising money. Literally, the day that you are elected to office, before you serve a single day, before you take your oath of office, Jeff, the very first thing you're told is, start raising money for the next election. That quick, election night. You know, you need to capitalize on this. Make sure you send out a fundraising appeal in the morning. Thank you so much. Remember, in order to keep this seat, we need to keep fighting. Please send us $10. I'm not joking. It's that immediate. And so if we could take that out of it, and of course it does go back to the Citizens United case where the Supreme Court says corporations, with regard to money, are individuals, and they can decide how much money they want to put behind a cause or a person. That's totally up to them, which was just a bogus Supreme Court ruling. But if we took the money out of the fundraising portion out of it, and everybody were on a level playing field, would our politicians look like they do today? I'm going to suggest the answer to that is no, they wouldn't. Because all of a sudden, you know, a teacher would run for Congress, or a dentist would run for Congress, or a doctor would run for Congress, or an auto worker would run for Congress, because you'd be playing by the same rules and the same cash equivalent. So it's easy that way. So yes, you're right. There are a lot of people that like that. But the people that have to decide to do it are the politicians that had to fight and raise money to get where they're at. And I have no sympathy for them, Jeff. I truly don't. There's no part of me that says, well, you know, I understand. Yeah, I mean, it was hard to get elected. They had to raise a lot of money. And yeah, I can understand why they wouldn't want to give that up. I don't. I don't get it, because I happen to know they hate it.
Now, would this end to a certain extent lobbyists, or would they still, they would exist for other purposes?
Well, they would exist for other purposes. I mean, lobbyists are really not so much about elections, but about legislation. So lobbyists are around really to try to get, to twist your arm to, you know, not that they don't funnel money to your reelection campaign. But, you know, they're, the perks aren't what they once were either. I mean, there is a little bit more transparency in the lobbyist world than there once was. A lot more transparency. Not enough, but a lot more. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, if you can take money out of politics, that if that influence goes away and it's just about legislating, I can't imagine how much we could accomplish. I can't imagine how strong this country would be.
I can't imagine taking money out of politics, though. That's the trouble with it.
Oh, but why do you say that? I mean, you can't imagine it just because, you know, those that are there will never allow it. Is it like I'm suggesting?
I almost think of them as one in the same. Politics is about money.
Yeah. Well, you're right. You're right. I mean, it goes back to, you know, my three word slogan: follow the money. Yeah. Politics. You got it perfectly. Politics is about money. It's absolutely about money. All right, we need to take a quick break for the top of the hour. Russ coming up with traffic and weather. I believe it's Russ. Could be Diane. We'll find out here in just a few minutes. So CNN with headline news. Lots of stuff to get to yet this morning, so you're going to want to stay where you're at. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. No problems on the freeways right now. Traffic volumes are light and moving at posted speeds. Of course, we still have that problem at the Hoover and 12 Mile intersection. That is all completely closed down because of some fallen power cables as a result of an accident. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today: cloudy, a chance of showers after 8 a.m., a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, some drizzle, cloudy as well. A low around 54, and then tomorrow, still clouds, still some rain, a high in the mid-60s. Right now, it's foggy and 58 degrees at the Twin City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, Congressman Peter King says an alleged Iranian assassination plot is an act of war.
It's really historic in a terrible sense of the word. The Iranians have crossed a red line.
U.S. officials say they stopped a murder-for-hire scheme targeting Saudi Arabia's ambassador to the United States. CNN's national security analyst Fran Townsend says expect a strong reaction from the international community.
I think you'll see the United States put pressure on Russia and China now to leverage this case to try and get them to agree to tougher sanctions in the Security Council. And we're going to see how it plays out, how our other regional allies react.
Iran's Speaker of Parliament says the Americans are trying to divert attention away from their own domestic problems. There was a lot of talk about Herman Cain's 999 tax plan at the latest Republican presidential debate in New Hampshire. Cain defended it after other candidates criticized the plan.
Continuing to pivot off the current tax code is not going to boost this economy. This is why we developed 999. 9% corporate business flat tax, 9% personal income flat tax, and a 9% national sales tax. And it will pass, Senator, because the American people want it to pass.
Cain was responding to former Senator Rick Santorum, who doesn't think the plan stands a chance of passing. Some of the Occupy Wall Street protesters were arrested in Boston. Mayor Thomas Menino says he sympathizes with the demonstrators, but wants them to stay in the designated rallying zones.
I think this is a movement of middle-class America being so frustrated that nobody's listening to their concerns, and that's what this is all about.
Some of the protesters in New York marched in front of the homes of well-known billionaires. Taking a lot of vitamin E may increase a man's risk of getting prostate cancer. The lead author of a new study says the findings were surprising. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe talking about the Big Tire Event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the Big Tire Event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a Big Tire Event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
To show how easy it is to prepare for cold and flu season at Walmart, I stocked up. For just $1.97, I bought a box of new Kleenex Cool Touch tissues to soothe my sore nose. I've got some Abreva cold sore treatment. I'm taking a Halls Advanced Vapor Action Cherry cough drop. I just washed my hands with Lysol Healthy Touch antibacterial soap, and I'm wearing Breathe Right Advanced Nasal Strips on my nose for later. In fact, I'm so prepared, I'm going to be really disappointed if I don't get sick. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Uses Direct Keep out of reach of children. Prices subject to change.
The U.S. financial system is moving closer to a new way of doing business. Both critics and proponents say the Volcker Rule, introduced in the Dodd-Frank financial legislation and fleshed out in recent days, will significantly change how Wall Street operates. Regulatory bodies, including the FDIC, have voted on the now-completed Volcker Rule, with the Securities and Exchange Commission voting today. It restricts banks from risking their depositors' money on investments for the bank's own benefit. Earnings reporting season has begun with a miss. Alcoa reporting tripled the profit from a year ago, but a drop from the second quarter this year to the third. Falling aluminum prices caused earnings to fall short of predictions. As yesterday, Slovakia is garnering an unusual amount of global attention today. The final member of the European Union to vote on the big financial rescue package is re-voting today. Yesterday, Slovakia's parliament voted it down. European markets are higher. S&P futures gaining 12 points. NASDAQ futures up 24. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I had taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Thanks again for the generous donation.
Oh, don't mention it. When I heard from Katie, who read Kevin's blog that sent everyone to a fan page because of a tweet Bobby shared about the newsletter you sent him in an email, well, I just had to help out.
Start your own word-of-mouth campaign by combining Constant Contact email marketing with social media and spread your message to potential donors like never before. Get started today at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact plans are as low as $15 a month and now come with a money-back guarantee.
What's with the boxes, Earlman?
Just moving into Peterson's old office, Mr. Fernwell.
Well, I need this space for Bob from Accountemps. I want him to fill Peterson's shoes.
Good luck. That man had the biggest feet I've ever seen.
Bob from Accountemps knows cost analysis and budgeting inside out.
But he's a temporary.
We could hire him full-time.
Full-time?
And this will all be his.
Can I just pretend for a sec?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are,
Are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And good morning. Thank you for being with us. Hour two of this Wednesday First Shift program. Tony Trupiano with you. Pleasure to be here. We've got a lot to get to in this hour. We're going to have plenty of time to take your calls. A little later on in the hour, we're going to be walking you through the Hank Williams Jr. ongoing saga. You got to hear it to believe it. So we're going to get to that in a bit. But before we do that, you'll recall a few weeks back, I don't know, it was 4 or 5 weeks ago, we talked about in the House, what is House Bill 4936, and in the Senate, Senate Bill 649, legislation that would radically alter Michigan's no-fault insurance laws. And we came out vehemently opposed to these changes for a variety of reasons. Well, the legislature is still debating it, and on Thursday we'll spend more time debating this legislation. But in essence, what they claim is that your insurance premiums will become a whole lot cheaper, although they can't guarantee it, and that's got to be the critical component there. And there's so much more to this than meets the eye. I wanted to make sure that we didn't drop our attention on this topic. So we turn now to my first guest in this hour. And joining us is Erica Nader Coulston. Erica is 33 years old, lives in Dearborn Heights, and with her family has founded Walk the Line to Spinal Cord Injury Recovery in Southfield, and she joins us today to talk to us about these proposed legislation and what it would mean. And Erica, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Hi, thank you, Tony, for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
I'm going to suggest that you agree with me. This is not the right legislation, and it's not the time to be changing laws that actually do a pretty darn good job of protecting us.
Absolutely. In fact, Michigan voters have voted twice with a 60% margin to keep our auto no-fault laws the same. You know, there's many unknown questions and issues with this piece of legislation, specifically with House Bill 4936, which is before the House Insurance Committee right now. The most alarming, which I'm not sure if people are aware of, but Representative Pete Lund, who has introduced House Bill 4936, has attached an appropriation to the bill. What this means basically is that we have, as voters, a constitutional right to force any bills to go to public referendum unless there's an appropriations attached. So in order to, basically what he's done is, in order to remove power from the people and to allow us to vote, he's attached his appropriations, which means we will never be able to vote, basically to dismantle the auto no-fault system, which is what this bill will do. It's very scary.
Yeah. Now, why is this something, Erica, that you're so passionate about?
I was in a car accident in 2001, and I suffered a spinal cord injury, and I'm paralyzed from the chest down. I have a C6, C7 spinal cord injury. I have benefited from this exact law for the last 10 years. And, you know, seeing the, knowing people with my similar medical condition that were not injured in Michigan in a car accident, and seeing what their either Medicaid, Medicare, or private insurance will pay for is such a stark difference, you know, from what you actually need. And you can never know what you actually need until you're in this situation. And trust me, I never expected to be in this situation at 23 when I was injured. So, you know, you never know when this is going to happen to you. So.
Well, and that really is the foundation of what we need to be focusing on is that very, and it is about money. At the end of the day, it is about money. To put limits, to put dollar limits, to put caps on what your insurance company would be responsible for with regard to your care, God forbid that you need care. To put limits on that basically sends the message, and I want people to hear this loud and clear, Erica, that if this legislation were to pass, you as a taxpayer are going to be responsible once those insurance limits are exhausted. You're going to be responsible for caring for people that need care.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. And not only that, but this will basically, you know, in 1973 when this law was passed, it was to stop the exorbitant amount of lawsuits that were going on. This will, again, put those lawsuits back in place. You will not only be liable as a taxpayer when somebody that's injured is forced to go on Medicaid or Medicare, but you will also be at risk for personal liability lawsuits. So in addition to buying your auto insurance, you will have to buy, if you're a responsible individual, you'll have to buy liability coverage in case you're sued. Because basically what this bill says is you can buy, it will give you the choice of buying $250,000 worth of coverage, $500,000, $1 million, or $3 million. Once you've used up whatever you've purchased, you will have to exhaust your private health insurance if you're one of the lucky ones to still be able to afford it. And then on top of that, after that, you'll go on to Medicaid or Medicare, and of course you'll have the option to sue whoever you were in an accident with. And this is just putting, you know, to me, this is taking advantage of hardworking families and individuals that are in a tough spot right now, needing to save some dollars. The insurance companies are saying there could be between 15 and 40% of savings. That savings will only come to you if you choose to underinsure yourself. It's just totally egregious what they're trying to do to people and taking advantage of, you know, as I said, hardworking individuals and families in a tough spot, and also the permanently disabled. We, for those of us currently benefiting from this bill, we have no idea the impact that it will have on our future care. And I'm only 33 years old, so, you know, I hope to live a long and healthy life.
Yeah, my guest again is Erica Nader Colston. She was a victim of a car accident. Her no-fault insurance kicked in. Without it, here's the question for you, Erica. Without that, the no-fault laws that are in place right now, what do you think your quality of life would be today?
You know, it's scary to think about that. As I told you, I was 23 when I was injured. I was fortunately still under my parents' health insurance, private health insurance coverage, but, you know, there's no doubt that my family would have been financially ruined, you know, having to be responsible for my care, which I have 24-hour care 7 days a week because not only am I in a wheelchair and cannot perform, you know, regular tasks, but, you know, I need help with bladder and bowel care. I need help with preparing food. You know, the most basic of things I still need assistance with. And, you know, this bill basically will put the squeeze on families and individuals. And it's frightening to think the situation that my family would have been put in, the choices that they would have had to make to either care for me themselves or put me in a nursing home.
Well, this obviously is about the insurance companies looking to save money. I mean, it's about their bottom line, I would think, right?
Exactly. I mean, this will take, currently under the no-fault laws, your auto insurance carrier is liable for the first $500,000 of your care. After that, it is reinsured by the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association, which is where your $150 a year goes for this lifetime group health plan, basically. And they want to limit that. They want to limit it to $250,000, and they want to get rid of the no-fault system as we know it. So it's absolutely about their bottom line, and it's about not having a lifetime commitment to take care of you for something that you've paid for.
Well, not to mention the fact that you didn't ask for this. It's not like you got up one morning and said, I'm going to be reckless, and no. I'm going to ask for this to happen, and then I'm going to expect someone else to pay the tab the rest of my life, because that's not what happened, Erica.
Well, no, and I think it's also important to note about our current auto no-fault laws. It covers you if you're out of state, as long as you have insurance on a Michigan vehicle. It also protects all the passengers in your car or in the car that you might be in an accident with. So I was a passenger in a vehicle. Luckily, the vehicle I was in was insured. And so it's not necessarily about, it is about protecting yourself, but it's also about protecting yourself when you're out of state. It's about protecting your loved ones. And I think that, you know, Michigan voters, and especially the House Insurance Committee and Senate Insurance Committees that will be voting on these bills first need to put themselves in the shoes of the victims that are benefiting from this law currently and think, what would they want for their, you know, daughter, for their granddaughter, for their wife? What would they want for themselves? And it's really a human rights issue to me also.
Yeah, there's no question it's a human rights issue. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what you need to do, and I asked you to do this a few weeks back, I'm going to ask you to do it again today, call your lawmakers and tell them to vote no against House Bill 4639 and in the Senate 649. It's that simple. Just, and we need to do it in mass. They need to get the message loud and clear that we will not gamble with the future of our most precious resource, which is our fellow citizens, by allowing lobbyists in the insurance industry to get their way. Erica, blessings to you. My prayers are with you. And
Thank you. We're
going to fight this fight with you. Thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Tony. I appreciate the opportunity.
And my pleasure. Erica Nader Colston. All right. Quick break here. When we come back, and folks, I'll give you these numbers again on the other side, but you've got to do this. We come back, little Hank Williams Jr. You got to hear it to believe it. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slowdown. 75 southbound between 696 and 8 miles. At the 275 northbound between M14 and 6 miles. You're going to find some delays there. 75 southbound between Rochester Road down through 696. Yep, more delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy. Rain will pick up a little bit later on today. A high near 65. Tonight, cloudy, a low around 54. And then tomorrow, cloudy still. Again, the showers return, a high in the mid-60s. Right now, it's foggy and 58 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Attention, homeowners. Put down the pigskin. Lawn season is not over. Fall is when your lawn needs food to build its roots. That's why fall is the best time to feed. And Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard is the food it wants. WinterGuard gives grass a deep turf builder feeding, creating stronger roots for a stronger lawn. I repeat, put down the pigskin and pick up a bag of Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard. Then pass the nachos. That concludes this Lawn Desk Alert. More details at scotts.com.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
recently on First Shift.
Well, so joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. It seems that we have some unfinished business. I have Erica back with us, who was just with us talking about the auto no-fault scam that the insurance companies are trying to pull on us to change that legislation. And Erica, there was something else you needed to mention that we didn't get to. So what's on your mind, Erica?
Yeah, thanks for having me back on. I forgot to mention there's going to be a rally on Monday, October 17th. To oppose these bills, House Bill 4936 and Senate Bill 649, to oppose the auto no-fault reform. And the rally will be October 17th at 11 a.m. on the southeast corner of 12 Mile and Evergreen in Southfield. So we hope to have a big crowd and, let our voices be heard to our legislators.
All right, so that's 11 a.m., October 17th, on the corner of 12 Mile and Evergreen. That's all we need to know?
Yep, that's it.
Groovy. We will make sure that we remind people of that between now and then.
All right, great. Thank you, Charlie.
Erica, thank you so much. No problem, no problem. Glad that we can get you back on. Okay, folks, we just want to make sure that we got that out there. All right, Radford, this is just like almost too good to be true in some ways. Here's the deal. Hank Williams Jr., and I think, can we assume that people know the whole thing? I don't need to go through the whole thing, Jeff.
I would think so by now.
All right. Anyway, he wrote a song, which we'll get to in a little bit. But he was on The View, and then he was on Sean Hannity, and he's obviously trying to get his 15 minutes out of this. Anyway, he was on with Sean Hannity on Fox News yesterday, which is, to me, the most sensational interview I've heard in a long time. Let's just listen, and then we'll take it apart from there. Let's go.
So I was watching you on The View this morning. It's a good group of people. I thought they were very nice.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
Well, I watched their reaction back on Tuesday, and they said, hey, it's an analogy.
You pulled out a dictionary today.
Sherry's going, analogy.
Yeah.
I said, okay, would you read the definition? and Elizabeth, hey, why don't we invite a bunch of Yankees fans and Red Sox fans and have a nice love lunch together?
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. So that happens. I called my manager. I said, they did what? My daughter says, Daddy, do you know that they're not showing you tonight? Are you in trouble? I said, oh, well, if I am, then we all are.
What do you mean by that?
So the next day, I went fishing, and I called my manager,
I said, you
can tell ESPN adios tonight.
All right, and then, now wait.
So the next day I'm fishing.
No, I was talking to you.
Oh, no.
All right, so here's the question I have. You said that because I talked to your publicist. He said you were pulling out, and then ESPN says they pulled out. So who pulled out first?
What I just told you, I called him that night, and I said, you can.
And we're done.
Because let me tell you something, buddy. You've known me a long time.
Long time.
My daughter, now you've hurt my family. I was hot at 5 p.m. Daddy, are we? I said, you can call them and you can tell them I'm out of here. Adios.
All right. Anybody want to tell me what the hell that was? I'm not being a smartass. Did he answer any question? Did he finish a sentence? Did I not get something? Am I missing something, Jeff? Is there something there that I just didn't get?
The two of them were just throwing half sentences out left and right. I had no idea what was going on halfway through the interview.
Now, I got the impression that Sean Hannity was actually kissing Hank Williams Jr.'s butt. That's the impression I got, that he was trying to keep him happy.
Hank's like, I went fishing. I know. I called you. I know. I was there. It was like, what are you guys talking about?
You and I have known each other a long time. Long time. Long time. Jeff, long time. But it got better. It didn't stop there. Now Hank tries to explain the golf game analogy and that got him into all the trouble. Here we go.
That golf game in the shape that this country was in and is in, and these four politicians are out there, you know, jiving and high-fiving. It was absurd, ridiculous, dumb political move.
And they're never going to get along. You pointed out something that is factually true.
It was a disaster.
All right. What was the disaster? What? Oh, sweet Jesus. I'm not done. There's a lot more here. I'm not even close to being done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Love that. Just love that. All right. So, again, this is just it's so weird. Sean Hannity says at one point, yeah, you pointed that out, that they're not even going to get along. You know, nobody points, he pointed that out. And Hank Williams Jr. just ignores it. Sean Hannity, it's Jeff, it was almost like they were having two different interviews in the same room.
Well, I think that's just how it is when you interview Hank Williams Jr. Think about what got this whole thing into play was they were like, well, what do you think about the GOP field? And he says, he completely ignores the question and just goes off, remember that golf game? And it's like, who the heck was talking about the golf game to begin with? You know, we were asking you about the GOP field, which now I feel like I'm defending Fox and Friends, but you ask Hank Williams Jr. a question and you're going to get an answer, whatever is on his mind, which has nothing to do with what you were asking him in the first place.
Well, that is the point, isn't it? It's going to be whatever's on his mind. And he doesn't seem to, finish a thought. Here's somebody told me that he has had a closed head injury, and I really have empathy for people with closed head injuries. I truly do. And some of them have a real difficult time dialoguing; others don't. But he just can't seem to string together any kind of coherency a thought from one second to the next. Now, I go back to that what he said about his my daughter. Well. Finish the sentence. What about your daughter? I mean, are we supposed to fill in the blanks, Jeff? Is that what we're supposed to do? His daughter was upset? Is that what he was trying to say?
I think, yeah, you're supposed to fill in the blanks. And basically, he was fine with being off Monday Night Football until his daughter got wind of it. And then he was, now you're messing with my kids, which I didn't get at all. But
right,
okay.
Yeah, and I don't get that either. Now...
Oh, yeah, yeah, come on, come on.
And how many times does he say that? That's the crazy thing, is he does that repeatedly.
I think he's auditioning to be the next Kool-Aid man. The guy busts through the wall. When he busts through the wall, he's like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, come on, come on.
Fair enough, that would work. I don't know that he's going to get the job, because... he's one scary-looking dude. He might scare a little kid and you walk through the wall, that's it looking at you.
You know, I don't know how much he is like a crazy, wacko country guy or maybe like evil genius. Because now I haven't even had thought of Hank Williams Jr., never even heard his name in the news lately. And now he's releasing singles on his website. He's he's going to be on Fox all the time. He's talking about this and that, and people are having his name out there. I mean, this is the best publicity stunt he's had.
Well, some are even saying that he needs to run for Senate in Tennessee. And
he's thinking about running for vice president with Whoopi as the presidential candidate.
Well, there's more to this interview, and we'll come back to it on the other side. There really is. And then we'll... play a little bit of the song, Keep the Change, which is in response to all this madness that has gone on. Tony Truppiano with you on First Shift. We'll take the break. We'll be back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slowdowns in 275 northbound between M14 and 6 Mile. 275 southbound
from around 14 Mile down through 8 Mile. You'll find some delays there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, chance of rain, pretty good one at that. Cloudy, a high near 65 tonight. Cloudy, still, chance of drizzle in there as well. A low in the mid-50s, and then tomorrow, clouds remain, so do the showers, a high near 66. Right now, it's foggy and 58 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Workers Independent News, I'm Doug Cunningham. Wisconsin's worker uprising goes on the offense as the recall against Governor Scott Walker kicks off. Jesse Russell reports.
A kickoff date for the recall effort against Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has officially been set. The main group coordinating the effort is United Wisconsin, and they announced on Tuesday that November 15th will be the official start date of collecting signatures. Supporters of the governor have said any recall attempt will be disruptive to the state and create chaos. Ryan Lawler from United Wisconsin disagreed, stating that the chaos started with Walker's budget repair bill.
The introduction of the budget repair bill and the damage that that repair bill and the policies that Governor Walker had proposed ran through the legislation, wreaking far more havoc on what is just a part of the political landscape, the recall process.
Contrary to claims that the recall effort is limited to the state's liberal stronghold of Madison, United Wisconsin said they're working with grassroots recall groups throughout the state.
There's a number of different grassroots groups representing basically the entire geography of Wisconsin.
United Wisconsin doesn't see the desire to recall the governor waning in the state, even 7 months since the largest protest rally. United Wisconsin's Kevin Straka.
There are other formidable drivers such as health care, education, voter ID, tuition increases, etc.
The Occupy protest movement continues to grow as police in Washington, D.C. and Boston arrest some Occupy protesters. About 120 people were arrested in Boston for allegedly refusing an order to leave. Occupy Boston spokesperson Philip Anderson told the Boston Globe,
200 police in riot gear moved in. It got kind of brutal. Veterans, union workers, students were thrown to the ground, put in headlocks, dragged across the ground. Some people injured themselves. 100 plus people got arrested. That included medics, that included legal observers, that included ranking members of the National Lawyers Guild.
Occupy Wall Street expressed its solidarity with their Boston brothers and sisters and commended them for asserting the right of the people to peacefully assemble. In Washington, D.C., at least six Occupy D.C. protesters were arrested as they tried to unfurl banners in the Hart office building to urge the Senate to pass President Obama's American Jobs Act. SEIU and Interfaith Worker Justice held a prayer vigil at the Senate Tuesday as it appeared Democrats could not muster the 60 votes they need to pass the Jobs Act. This newscast made possible in part by the American Federation of Teachers, a union of professionals. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, a one-hour radio documentary produced by Workers Independent News in conjunction with WORT. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hours. Hank Williams Jr. Was on with Sean Hannity. And he also had released a new song out yesterday that was a free download. I think there's a little bit of time left if you want to get it free. It's called Keep the Change, and it's in response to all the hubbubaloo that's been going on about him. And, you know, after today, it'll have to pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's too funny. Anyway, he goes on, Hannity... goes on to tell Hank Williams Jr. in this love fest that they were, this odd love fest that was going on, that he appreciated the no apology from Hank Williams
Jr. And I, frankly, I'm glad that you said, I'm not apologizing. You know why? Because everyone gets in the middle of a controversy, boy. No, it's true. What's the first? I'm sorry. They're not sorry.
No.
They're just sorry that they said it, and you had the guts to...
That is the truth.
Isn't that the truth?
Oh, my fan, the emails. Let me tell you. I have been recording and touring for 5 decades. There has never been a more special time. The wonderful emails. And my fans, you are the only one that stands up, speaks his mind, and speaks for us and the way it...
Okay, we're just going to let one stand on its own.
I like the fact that he started out with, you didn't apologize. You didn't apologize for anything. And what does Hank talk about? Getting an email.
Right.
They are having two different conversations.
My fans.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and he closes the interview, Hannity, that is, basically telling us that Hank is... He is football.
Really? But you know what? I love football.
And you know, I do too.
But you know what? I'm going to miss your Open.
Well, stand by for 2012. It's a free country with lots of options and lots of choices.
So in other words, we may not have heard the last of Hank Williams Jr.
On
football.
We've been contacted today. The song is mine, Sean.
So
and the poll. Let's talk about the poll. They had a poll. You know, who would you like to have on do the Monday night? 53% me.
Well, you don't look as good as Faith Hill, but she does Sunday Night Football.
No. Well, that's another network. But there are other networks.
Yes, there are. Fox is one of them.
Yeah.
All right, so we can assume, Jeff, that means that that song's coming to Fox next fall.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now in your voice.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mean for you to do Hank Williams in your voice.
No, I don't know what he... It's hard to tell what he means. I would ask him, but if I said, hey, does that mean it's coming to Fox? He would be like, well, my daughter went fishing the other day. I mean,
and she got an email from somebody that said, oh, yeah.
I would never get the answer. I'd have to ask him some other question, and then maybe he would answer that question.
Just crazy. I mean, it's just crazy. So, anyway, MSNBC... reported yesterday on the saga. Let's listen a little bit of the MSNBC report.
Hank Williams Jr. is lashing out at the media this 1 week after the controversial comment he made about President Obama that led ESPN to drop his Monday night football anthem. Savannah Guthrie has more on this. Savannah, good morning.
Hi, Matt. Well, Williams is not going away quietly, and this time he's put it all to music with a brand new song.
This country should have hell been going down the drain.
Sound familiar? Hank Williams Jr. is back, firing back.
United Socialist States of America.
After publicly parting ways with Monday Night Football, the conservative country music star dropped by ESPN after comparing President Obama to Hitler on Fox News, hit the recording studio Friday and stuck to his guns.
So, Fox and friends, wanna put me down? Ask for my opinion, then twist it all.
It's been only a week since this controversial Fox appearance.
It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu.
Which led ESPN to pull the plug on Hank's famous opening line from Monday Night Football.
The hottest ticket around.
Monday night, the iconic words missing for a second straight week.
On Monday Night Football.
Hank had this warning for fans.
Keep Fox and friends and ESPN out of your homes, too.
But don't think Hank is going to be forgotten anytime soon.
Mr. Williams is a man who
from
knew
a spoof on Saturday Night Live.
Telling him he's a political analyst is akin to giving a baby a gun.
Hey, don't give a baby a gun. President Barack Hitler will just take it away.
Here he comes again.
To a hot topic on The View.
Said to him, are you calling the President of the United States Hitler? She said that. He didn't mean to say that.
And musicians do provocative things, and I think of all the football players and all the musicians.
And Hank appreciated Whoopi's view, writing on his website, quote, Whoopi and Joy understood what I was saying. Who knows? Whoopi may run for president, and I'll be her vice president. Now that will really stir it up.
Love that name.
A political proposition that could really strike a chord.
I'll keep the USA, and y'all can keep the chain.
Okay. All right. I think we're just going to kind of let it go there.
See, I when Whoopi says, "Well, he's you know a musician, and musicians say provocative things," that's the akin of saying Manny just being Manny, or you know, like let's just let these crazy people say what they want to say, and that's just them being them.
I'm with you on this one. Absolutely on you with this one. And the only reason that I gave this some time today is because. I just, you know, one of the difficulties of being a Democrat, we really do attract some weird people to our rallies. And we you know, because we're the big umbrella people. Jeff, you know, you'll start coming to some of this stuff and you're going to, you know, whisper in my ear, did I just see what I think I saw? Because we are the big umbrella party. And so all kinds of people show up. But I just wanted to equal it out a little bit with little Hank Williams Jr., because he kind of negates, I don't know, easily 80-90% of those weirdos the Democrats attract.
Well, see, now, I think he sounds crazy, sounds insane, but at the same time, I don't necessarily think that ESPN, like, they were forced to get rid of him in the song.
Well,
I still don't think that.
Well, it depends who you believe, because he says that he called them and said, I don't want you using my song, it's my song.
Yeah, well, that whole argument is ridiculous. ESPN pulled him, but not necessarily made an announcement, so then he's like, well, you know what, I'm not going to be on there anymore anyway. So I think ESPN was putting that in motion. As it was. I mean, they pulled you on the Monday night game and then you found out the next day. You know, I don't care who pulled who first. I just don't know that. I think maybe it was a knee-jerk reaction by ESPN.
Maybe not so knee-jerk. You know, maybe at that point they just decided. And who knows what the relationship was prior to this.
That's true, too.
You know, he might have been difficult to work with. You know, these are contracts, and contracts have start dates and end dates. They may have been, you know, negotiating with him, and, you know, he might have been expecting a lot. I mean, I have no idea how much you get paid. Does the song change from week to week?
He updated it per who was playing.
All right. Because I wasn't sure if he was still doing that. Which goes back to, you know, Monday Night Football. It just is not as popular as it once was. It's just not.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Just crazy. I mean, absolutely an insane interview. And again, the best part about it for me was I don't know that one question that Sean Hannity asked. Now, Sean didn't ask a lot of questions, or one statement that Sean Hannity made, Hank Williams Jr. actually responded to with a full sentence or to a logical conclusion. I didn't hear it. If it's there, I didn't hear it. And we didn't chop up the audio that much where we edited it to that point. You can go check us out on that. It's out on the internet. Just really weird stuff. I mean, this is really weird stuff. So, well, you know, listen, Hank Williams Jr. is going to get his, you know, he'll make some money off Jeff, and no question about it. And I went and downloaded the song, and I shouldn't have because I had to give up my email address to do it.
No, and now it's on it's all over the internet.
But I thought that we would use it, and there was enough of it in that Today Show piece where that's all we needed to hear. The United Socialist States of America. Now, I get, Jeff, there are people that agree with them. I do get that, and that's fine. That's First Amendment. I have no problem defending his First Amendment rights. None at all. None. Zero. But for him to now take this and to make it something, and that's what he's really doing, is he's purposely making this something that it's not.
Well, yeah, to self-promote.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all about that.
It. Yeah, it's about profit.
There was a part that we didn't include that I should have. I forgot about cutting it up. The part where, you know, during the first Fox and Friends interview, he says, they're the enemy, you know, Obama and Biden, the Three Stooges. And even Fox and Friends, the people on there, I don't know their names, but they say, that's only two, and you said Three Stooges, so, you know, he got upset about that. He tried to clarify it when he was with Hannity, and he said, well, I'm sorry, I said Three Stooges, I meant four. He meant all four people participating in the golf game. Well, if they're all four the enemy, then he's including Boehner and Kasich in it as well, which means he doesn't care about, he doesn't like the Republicans or the Democrats.
Yeah, it's just bizarre stuff. And again, I've heard that he has a closed head injury, and that can affect some things, you know, your judgment in ways, so I'll hold off a little bit on that, but he has advisors, he has publicists, he has a manager. I just think that this was purely about making some extra cash.
He's been doing this for ESPN forever. For Monday Night Football forever.
Yeah.
And for ESPN since they've had it. Where was the first idea of, okay, let's have Hank Williams on and we'll talk politics with him? I mean, he's a singer. Ask him about Monday Night Football and then push him on his way. Why ask him about politics?
Maybe they knew something. Maybe. I'm just saying.
Something was planted here.
Yeah, I could be. Really weird stuff. Really weird stuff. Anyway, we'll take a quick break here. If you live in Highland Park, you know that the big news yesterday and into today is what's happening with the streetlights. Remember when you were a kid, you had to come on when the streetlights came on? Well, if you live in Highland Park, you never need to come home. We'll explain that on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano. Feel free to join us. You got something on your mind, 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after this.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
I'm just so pleased to have on the show this morning Harry Lester, the boy from Bud.
Well, Tony, what I attempted to do, and I hope I did, was to try to actually depict the difference between now and then, or then and now. You know, when you look back at the 30s compared to what we're going through right now, and to let people know that, you know, this standard of living that we haven't always had it. There was a lot of sacrifices made from an awful lot of people to make sure that we had the greatest standard of living that the world's ever known, and that the sacrifices in many cases, people went to jail, people went to the graveyard, people went to the hospital, and people went on to be leaders and great leaders in their unions and built this great standard of living that we enjoy.
Well, and there's no question, and then that certainly is depicted in The Boy from Bud. Of course, that is referring to your hometown, which is Bud, West Virginia.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock, I am Tony Trupiano, and we are open lines at the top of the hour. Feel free to join us. Whatever's on your mind is fine with us. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Zach in Detroit to First Shift. Zach, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
This whole Wall Street sit-down, I think, if you ask me, I mean, I've been around the country quite a bit, and I think if you step outside of Chicago or Detroit, you see a whole different America. And I think that's what these people are complaining about. There's no opportunity. There's no job security. And Wall Street, you know, they have their expectations. And if, like, for example, yesterday Alcoa doubled their profits, but that was not enough for Wall Street. So what's Alcoa going to do next? Either stop hiring or lay some people off. That's what these people are ticked off about.
Well, understandably. I mean, you know, this is really just about, for most people, Zach, and we had this discussion yesterday, but certainly is worth having again today and tomorrow and every day. This is about, for most people, just wanting to take care of their basic needs and that being taken away from them. We're talking about, you know, making enough money to have a warm, comfortable home, to have enough food to put on the table, to being able to buy clothes to clothe your family, and you know, some basic necessities. That's all this is about, Zach.
That's really all it's about. And I think the people who, the politicians who resonate with these people are going to get more mileage out of the politicians who are resonating with the Tea Party, because the Tea Party just got a lot of media. This didn't get a whole lot of media until this movement got really big.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see, because the president has come out in favor of the Occupy movement. He has. He's supporting these folks. Not I mean, he's not sitting with them, obviously, but he's supporting them. And so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out as it moves forward. Because, and Zach, thank you for your call. As we learned yesterday, there is no end game. You know, this isn't about, you know, once we get a set of priorities, then everybody goes back home. And I don't know. I don't know how this ends. I don't know that anybody knows how the Occupy movement ends. But it certainly starts with some kind of a reasonable approach politically to providing legislation. What have been a great start is the American Jobs Act. Would have been a great start to satisfying the 99%. But Republicans voted it down, period. They do not want us happy. Stone. 888-552-3595. Paul in Sterling Heights joins us now. Paul, welcome to First Shift. Appreciate you taking the time to call this morning. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Tony, I disagree with you on one point. Republicans don't care about us, dude.
Well, I know they don't
care.
Well, I know Republicans don't care about us. I never said they cared about us.
They said they want to make us mad. It doesn't matter how we react. It doesn't. In fact, they'd rather have us mad. Tony, I just voted on the Ford contract. You know what I wore in the plant? What I pinned on my chest tonight?
What did you do that? What'd you do?
It says, we are the 99%. That's on my chest right now.
God bless
you.
You
know why I wear it, Tony? You know why?
Tell me why for you, Paul.
Pardon?
I said, tell me why you do. I do want to know that.
Because a lot of the guys I work with, I'm skilled trades. If I work every minute overtime, you know how much I can make a year? That still doesn't make me a conservative. There's no way. I work with guys who have bloody shoes. They shot themselves in the foot, Tony. We both know guys like that.
Absolutely.
Okay? And when they ask me, what does that mean? You know what I tell them? I make mine by a paycheck. That's what 99% is. And did you hear about Chicago? They had both Occupy Chicago on Saturday and Monday. Monday, Chicago schools were out for Columbus Day, right?
Right.
Okay. So union teachers came out, marched on Monday. There was one change. They both had a rallying point at the Chicago Board of Trade, you know, pork bellies, corn,
right,
bananas, coffee. Chicago Board of Trade on Monday had a banner outside that said, "We are the 1%."
Yeah, they're flaunting it. They're drinking champagne. They're holding up signs that, and thanks for your call, Paul, and holding up signs that say, "We are the 1%." I read the story yesterday about the people in the office building that were taunting the iron worker who was on some scaffolding. And it was cold outside, and they held up a piece of cardboard that said, "It's 72 degrees in here, and we're making $18 an hour." And the steel worker found a piece of plywood and painted on it It's 32 degrees out here, and I'm making $72 an hour. Yeah, it's just crazy. And this should not be an us-them battle. It is. It shouldn't be. And then, Jeff, this goes back, before we get to our next call, this goes back to the conversation you and I had yesterday with is, why is it that anybody in the 99% that would support what the 1% wants, why would they do that? And of course, there is no legitimate answer to that. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Dennis in Canton. Dennis, thanks for joining us this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I don't know if anyone's had a chance to talk about it or if you're even aware of it, but I ran across on Facebook an open letter to the Occupy movement from a former Tea Partier.
No, I have not seen. No, I have not heard about this.
It's interesting. I'll have to find the link and send it to you. But basically, a guy who says he claims to have been a roots Tea Party activist was writing an open letter to warn us that the movement may get hijacked by money. And he's claiming that supposedly the people who started the Tea Party originally only wanted a few things. But then Koch brothers and all these people got in, hijacked it with money, turned it into all this other stuff, and basically made it irrelevant. And
well, you know, there is,
it may happen.
Dennis, there is a different factions of the Tea Party. There's the Tea Party Express and the Tea Party Patriots and a couple other factions. And in the... you know, the original group, and you're 100% right, the original group were responding to George W. Bush's insistence that we explode the size of the federal government. That's what the original Tea Party movement was about. And they were saying, no, you're spending too much taxpayer dollars on expanding federal government, and it needs to stop. And so, yeah, I can clearly see where there's some truth to what you're saying.
Yeah, and so I'm just wondering if there's if you see any angle where the moneyed propaganda could start doing what this person is warning us of.
Well, somebody sent me a bogus email yesterday that said that, and it was a link to some video, but you know I couldn't get any information, and it was basically these people that were saying that they were being paid $22 an hour to sit in the Wall Street. To be a part of the Wall Street bailout or the Wall Street Occupy movement. But it made no sense. The video made no sense. And so I can't see that it could happen. Unfortunately, folks, we're out of time for the top of the hour. We've got to take a break.
Thanks,
Steve, thank you for your call. Steve, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to your call. Try us again at 8:35. Steven Henderson from the Detroit Free Press coming up. I'm Tony Truppiano, Russ with Traffic and Weather, CNN with Headline News. We'll take the break and be back. Stay with us on First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Looking at some delays on Sutter Drive southbound from Rochester Road down through 8th Mile, 696 eastbound between Woodward and 75. You're going to find delays there too. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy. Rain will pick up a little bit later on today, a high near 65. Tonight, cloudy, a low around 54. And then tomorrow, cloudy still. Again, the showers return, a high in the mid-60s. Right now, it's foggy and 58 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, a Saudi prince says someone in Iran is going to pay the price for an alleged assassination plot. U.S. officials say the Iranian government was behind a scheme intended to kill the Saudi Arabian ambassador to the U.S. Former CIA officer Chad Sweet says they don't know who in the Iranian government knew about it.
What's not clear is whether this went all the way up to the supreme leader in Iran. That country is composed of different factions and they often vie for power.
Iran says the U.S. is lying about the plot. Herman Cain's 999 tax plan got a lot of attention at the latest Republican presidential debate. CNN's Jim Acosta says the other candidates took aim at the plan.
In the middle of the debate, Michelle Bachmann's campaign sent out an email to reporters basically calling Cain's 999 plan a disaster for the country, saying it would wreck the U.S. economy.
Cain says it's a bold plan. Taking a lot of vitamin E could be bad for a man's health. CNN's Andy Rose explains why.
Researchers figured that taking strong vitamin E supplements might help men prevent prostate cancer. But actually, the opposite seems to be true. 17% more men from their vitamin E test group ended up with prostate cancer than those who were just taking a placebo. The study's published in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
A few hundred Occupy Wall Street protesters targeted the homes of some of the well-known billionaires in New York.
We're here! We're hungry! We're coming!
The demonstrators left Zuccotti Park and hopped on a subway for a march down Park Avenue. A pathologist who did the autopsy on Michael Jackson says Dr. Conrad Murray is guilty, even if Jackson injected himself with dangerous drugs. Closing arguments in Murray's involuntary manslaughter trial could come next week. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Attention homeowners, put down the pigskin. Lawn season is not over. Fall is when your lawn needs food to build its roots. That's why fall is the best time to feed. And Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard is the food it wants. WinterGuard gives grass a deep Turf Builder feeding, creating stronger roots for a stronger lawn. I repeat, put down the pigskin and pick up a bag of Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard. Then pass the nachos. That concludes this Lawn Desk Alert. More details at Scotts.com.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Chrysler and the Auto Workers Union have struck a deal, tentative until the union rank and file get to vote on it. It cuts pay for union workers in exchange for profit-sharing payments. It also creates 2,100 new U.S. jobs at Chrysler and a $4.5 billion investment for factory upgrades. It's a good combination that served PepsiCo well, salty snacks from Frito-Lay, and beverages once you've consumed too much of the salt. This morning, PepsiCo reports higher sales of Frito-Lay snacks and beverages from brands including Pepsi, Tropicana, and Gatorade helped push the company to better-than-expected third-quarter profit, sales at $17.5 billion. For a second day, the world is looking at Slovakia, the only member of the European Union yet to approve the aggressive financial system rescue package. Voted the measure down yesterday, but with a few amendments taken out, the measure is expected to pass Slovakia's parliament today. European markets are higher, and S&P futures are gaining 9 points. NASDAQ futures up 22. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I had taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Attention homeowners, put down the pigskin. Lawn season is not over. Fall is when your lawn needs food to build its roots. That's why fall is the best time to feed. And Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard is the food it wants. WinterGuard gives grass a deep Turf Builder feeding, creating stronger roots for a stronger lawn. I repeat, put down the pigskin and pick up a bag of Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard. Then pass the nachos. That concludes this Lawn Desk Alert. More details at Scotts.com.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Ship with Tony Trivion.
And welcome, everybody. This is the third and final hour of our Wednesday program. Obviously, the Occupy movement has really struck a chord with a lot of you, and at the bottom of the hour, we'll spend a little more time. We'll have a little time for open lines, so at 8:35, if you want to call back, we can continue that discussion. A lot of other things that we can get to as well. I also want to make sure a little later on in this hour we talk about the governor thinks that he's got the fix to what's ailing us, and honestly, he thinks that we're just not positive enough. I'm not exaggerating. He thinks we need to change our mindset. I don't know that that's entirely wrong, by the way, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But, of course, as we do every Wednesday at this time, it's time for our Wednesday regular, and here we go. My intro, please.
Joining us now, editor of the Detroit Free Press, Stephen Henderson.
And he is back, and we welcome him with open arms. Stephen Henderson, thank you so much for, again, giving so generously of your time to this program. We enjoy having you here, and lots of stuff to talk about today. Hope you had a good week.
Yes, I'm having a great week. I'm having a better day because the Tigers won last night.
Yeah.
So I didn't stay up all night for nothing.
Well, you know, that I had to make the choice. I got to tell you, Monday, you know, as you know, Stephen, I get up awfully early in the morning.
Yes.
And so Monday night, I had quite a dilemma. We had the Tigers game on at 4:30 in the afternoon, which was palatable enough. But then the Lions were on Monday Night Football. And although I could not make a commitment to staying up and watching all of it, I stayed up later than I should. So last night, I kind of overcompensated and went to bed a little earlier than I normally did. I just can't do it. I'm not as young as I used to be, Stephen.
It's tough to do that. I mean, I have been, you know, I'm usually in bed well before these games are over. So it's messing up my schedule, too.
Yeah, I asked Anthony, who runs the board for us and answers the phone. I asked him, you know, if he's sleeping at all, and he said, I'll figure out my schedule when the playoffs are over. You know, because I get it. It's really hard. I'm quite conflicted. Wasn't it a great day for the city of Detroit on Monday? Nationally,
yeah.
Stephen, nationally, we were the center of the sports universe and got a lot of love from the national media.
Yeah, and I mean, the team just looks fantastic right now. I mean, I have not seen a Lions team play that way, especially on defense, probably in my lifetime. You know, it just looks like a totally different team than we're used to having, and to have them do that on Monday night in front of everybody, it really sends a signal about what kind of football we're playing around here.
Absolutely. Well, we're not here to talk sports, although we can certainly take all of our time
right
to do that. A sport of another kind, I got to ask you, I want to go back again to the what I have termed the bridge to somewhere, that infamous NITC bridge between Southwest Detroit and the Windsor side of the river. Stephen, is this becoming a political game between not Democrats and Republicans, but between the governor and Republicans?
I think a little bit. That's probably the case. You know, the governor feels pretty strongly about the new bridge and has dispatched his lieutenant governor, Brian Calley, to do a lot of the legwork, you know, moving the legislature to vote for it. And that legwork is being done in the Republican caucus, which is where they have the biggest problems. It's not where they have the only problem. I mean, you do have some Democrats who are still either on the fence or have said that they won't vote for it. You have Democrats who have taken money from Matty Maroon, just as Republicans have. But the biggest problems, I think, that's right. They're in the Republican caucus, and I don't know what. I think this is sort of an early test of the governor's administration. You know, I mean, he's pretty much had his way with about everything he wanted to do so far. You know, this will give us some clue as to how he deals with political adversity and how, what kind of deal maker he is, right? Like, what's he willing to give up in another arena to get a vote on the bridge? And I don't think any of us really knows how he operates.
Well, we don't know. I mean, we really know nothing about this governor except what we see and what we've seen to this point. And we've seen that business side of him, and you know, we can certainly argue whether or not we feel he's been successful in that regard. You know, we'll have unemployment numbers coming out soon here in the state of Michigan, and I fear that they will edge up once again, and that doesn't portend good things for this governor. We also see the polling, the Epic MRA polling numbers that came out the end of last week and early this week, Steve Anderson, that definitively show that the people of the state of Michigan are not enamored to this guy. But we have no idea what kind of politician he is. We have no idea if he is has the stuff to be a political deal maker at this point.
Right, that's right. And you know, I mean, political deal making requires, you know, a certain sort of flexibility that I wouldn't necessarily ascribe to Governor Snyder. I mean, it sort of requires that you be able to say, well, you know, I can be right and still lose, you know, on this issue because I need the win on another. That's not really how he does things. And so, but you know, I mean, I don't think he's naive either. I know, and you know, he knows that he's in a very political position. He's got an agenda that he's got to move forward. And the way you do that in politics is by making deals. And this is not a minor issue to the Republicans who are opposed to it, the bridge. You know, they feel very, very strongly about this. I happen to think they're wrong. And I think the governor does too, but it's not as though he's going to get them to change their minds for something trivial. It's going to have to be a very aggressive campaign to move them across the divide on this. And, you know, I don't know what that campaign is looking like. I know that Kelly has been working really hard on it all summer.
Well, there's no question that's true. And there was a guest commentary in Sunday's Free Press titled "Bridge Legislation Built on Shaky Claims of Federal Billions," and then in today's Free Press this morning, which is why I get up early, because stuff actually does get printed overnight, there's a great piece that kind of breaks down where we're at. It's titled "Plan for Public Bridge May Stall in Senate Committee," and it's actually the subtext of this story that I found most interesting, and that's because it may not come out of committee, Stephen.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that if we see a vote today, which is a possibility in committee, that may mean that the committee chair, Mike Kowal, is trying to get rid of this, because I don't think it'll pass. I'm not convinced that they have the votes on that committee to get this onto the floor, which is, you know, also frustrating because, you know, what they're debating right now is the creation of a bridge authority, a transit authority that would oversee the bridge, its construction, and its operation. That's really just the first step in this process, and it's sort of a necessary step to even determine whether we need to build another bridge. I mean, the authority is the vehicle through which you sort of vet all these issues that the Maroons are raising. You know, is there enough traffic to support two bridges? If there's not enough traffic, how will the money be paid back to build that bridge if you can't do it through tolls? Those are the things that this authority needs. We need the authority to sit down and really go through and come up with solid answers to. And you can't even get the legislature to go that far. And I think a lot of the confusion here and a lot of the consternation is about the Maroons and the money that they've spent influencing our lawmakers, because there aren't a lot of good arguments for not doing this at this point. You can argue about the bridge, but creating the authority is something that just makes sense.
Right. Well, that does bring us then to the question before we get to break. We don't need the state to create an authority to build a bridge. We don't need them to do that. This can happen with an agreement with the state, but it doesn't have to happen with the authority. The governor, I would think, has some flexibility to go to a private investor, the Maroon family, and say, "Fine, you want to build it? Let's make a deal."
Right. Well, I think that that's a possibility. I mean, I think that the Maroons have a tougher road to travel to build their bridge because the Canadian government is so opposed to what they're talking about, twinning the ambassador. That's not the ideal solution to this, according to all the studies that have been done and things like that. But yeah, it's a possibility. You could hire a private interest to build a second bridge. I think you would still end up in the same situation we're in now, which is not ideal. It's not horrible, but it's not ideal either. And I don't think the governor really wants to do that.
Well, I don't either. But I just don't think the governor is going to get what he wants in this case. We're going to just have to. This is one of those things that is not just about the bridge. It's really about the future for this governor. It's going to be about what he might have to trade. And I'm sorry, but right to work comes to mind because he's been very neutral on that. Something I want him using as a bargaining chip. So we'll have to see. Well, with that said, Stephen, before we get to the break here, when we come back, charter schools. You had a great piece titled Expand School Charters, Not Before Rules Are Tightened. Let's talk about charter schools on the other side of this. Stephen Henderson, again, my guest, is the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal, seen on PBS Sundays 2 o'clock. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
First Chip with Tony Tribbiani.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some pretty heavy delays on 75 southbound from 12 mile down through 8 mile. Expect about a 10-minute delay if you drive that entire stretch. 696 westbound from Cousins to 75. That is backed up. New accident just popped up on 75 northbound at 696. It's on the shoulder, just causing some minor delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, we're looking at some rain a little bit later on this morning. Cloudy, a high near 65. Tonight, some drizzle, still cloudy, a low around 54. And then tomorrow, cloudy once again, still more showers, a high in the mid-60s. Right now it's foggy and 60 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
At Staples, we know your business printing is important. Right now, get 30% off any copy and print orders of $30 or more. Visit staples.com or text STAPLES to 84444. Offer ends 11-12-11. Staples, that was easy.
Hey, it's Mike Rome here with Fiona, a service advisor at Ford. You know what this is? But Fiona, tell them.
$100 bill.
Ford is having some sort of big tire event. What are you guys calling it?
The big tire event.
Well, there it is. You've got all kinds of brands, and there's a $100 rebate?
Yes, there is.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
It's a big event, Mike.
It's enormous?
It is.
Ginormous?
Ginormous.
Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Hello, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Stephen Henderson again, my guest with the Detroit Free Press, charter schools. Stephen writes, expand school charters, not before the rules are tightened. And you know, Stephen, I take a look at reform, education reform in general. And the one thing, as I was reading your piece, and it was actually my second read through it, where I said to myself, we've been talking about school reform, especially in the city of Detroit now, since I can remember. I don't remember not having the discussion. And you begin to wonder, where is the disconnect? How can we, beyond charter schools, how can we have a conversation about reforming education and not reform it? Why is it just the discussion?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, school reform, like everything else, gets politicized. And you've got lots of, you know, you've got two of the main sort of ingredients you need for that to happen. One is money. The other is power. And often, rather than talking about schools and how they might perform better, we end up talking about money, who's going to have it and who's going to get more of it. And we talk about power, who's going to keep it. And so that's been a tremendous distraction in Michigan. And I think one of the things that's true here is that people don't realize how far that set us behind. Michigan's schools used to be the envy of the nation, you know, in the late 80s and through the 90s, this was a state that had fantastic public schools. It's now something of a laughingstock, and that's because other states have gotten their act together and embraced reforms that confronted some of these demons of money and power. And it's also because we've stalled so badly. We're not doing basic things in education that you find in other states. And, you know, it's tragic that we've let this happen and that, as you point out, we can't get beyond a conversation about it to actually get some things done.
And yet the legislature, again, a piece, a part of the piece that you wrote, the legislature removes the caps legislatively on charter schools. And that's where you ask the question, you know. And it's an important question. Listen, I'm not opposed to charter schools, although I think you're far more open to them, Stephen, than I am. I'm not totally opposed to them, but there has to be a way, and there is a way, to measure their effectiveness. I mean, to have them, you know, to have them, to just have them. And again, does this go back to a Republican mantra about the free market that, you know, listen, people will be attracted to the better charter schools and the weaker ones will fail? Well, that's not necessarily true.
Right. Well, it's certainly a strain in this argument is the belief by some that if you just let the market take care of things, everything will work out the way it's supposed to. And I mean, I think conservatives and liberals have a long standing disagreement over that. I don't think things work that way. I think you need things that temper the market and make up for efficiencies there. There's some people who think that we don't. And in the charter school context, you know, we're seeing now what the market produces. There is no real restraint on charter schools other than this cap on the number. There's no quality control. There's no follow up with schools to get after them if they don't perform. And so we have what we have, which is a system where on average the charter schools are not doing that much better than public schools. And in specific instances, you have a lot of charter schools that are doing worse, and nothing's being done about it because we live in a state where we don't do a good job of quality control in any schools. I mean, public schools that struggle and are low performing over time aren't dealt with the way that they would be in other states in terms of the help that they could get, or in terms of in some extreme cases shutting them down. We don't do that here, and so this whole argument about whether to raise the cap on charter schools sort of takes place outside the proper context. The context should be, how do we get more really great charter schools to want to come to Michigan? There are some wonderful examples here in Detroit of very high-performing charter schools. But how do we also then get rid of the schools or make them better, ones that are not high-performing? And that seems to be a lost conversation. It's not a completely lost conversation, but it's sort of in the background of this conversation in Lansing.
Well, you know, ultimately, you'd like to think that the schools are about children. After all, that's what they're supposed to be about.
That's what they're supposed to be for.
Well, that's what they're supposed to be for. And we lose, you know, we continue to lose that part of the discussion. And I'm gonna be the real crazy liberal now. You know, I wish that we would address making sure that drama and choir and art and pottery class are put placed back into the curriculum. I'd like to know that, you know, we can go to a band concert and it was actually a class, not an after school activity. There have been studies, Stephen, that show the benefit between music and math and how one absolutely helps the other. Yet we ignore the data that says if we give them a more liberal education, we produce better thinking people.
Right. I mean, there's no question that those are not extras, right, in a school curriculum. Those are staples. And there again, Michigan's a great example of a state that just has slipped really far on that. We used to do that very well. We've fallen behind in terms of the pace at which other states are funding education. We've slipped from ahead the head of the pack down to the middle and lower end of the pack. We now rank very poorly in terms of the growth of spending on education, both at the K-12 and the higher ed level. And so things like drama and art and music are victims of that, and so our kids don't get it in a lot of schools. And that's not true in other places. In Maryland, where I lived for a very long time, it's unheard of to have schools without those things because, you know, Maryland is a fairly high tax state, but has lots of services to show for it. And the schools there are very nicely funded. You wouldn't find the same things there. And it's very hard here to get people, again, to sort of acknowledge that we don't live in a vacuum, that we live in a country of 50 states, all of which they're doing their own thing on education, and you want to keep pace because you want to be competitive. You want to be producing kids who are rivaling kids who come out of schools in Massachusetts or Maryland or even Florida, which has in some ways leapfrogged us. Florida used to have the worst schools in the country. Now is shooting up the list because of what they're doing. It's a conversation that, as you point out, we really have to have, and it's got to be focused on what can we do for our kids and how can we make them more competitive, and not about money and power, which as I point out, tends to politicize.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, we're out of time. Let me suggest before I let you go that maybe the one thing that we should do that we continue to not do is I don't care if it's charter schools or public schools. Ask the teachers what they need. And we don't do that. Stephen, we'll have to have that conversation some other time. Again, thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely.
Stephen Henderson again with the Detroit Free Press. We're going to be open lines, by the way, for the balance of the show. So feel free to pick up the phone and call us now. Whether you want to talk about the Occupy movement, automotive contracts, I don't care what's on your mind. It's time. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back after this.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at an accident northbound 35 at 696. It's on the shoulder, so expect some delays in behind that. 696 eastbound between the 96-275 interchange all the way through the lodge. We're seeing some heavier traffic there this morning. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, 50% chance of rain, cloudy, a high near 65. Tonight, chance of drizzle, still the clouds remain, a low around 54. Tomorrow, still cloudy, still a chance of showers, a high in the mid-60s. Quick look at Friday and Saturday, looking at a chance of showers and highs in the 50s each day. Right now, it's foggy and 60 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Gather round, children, and I'll tell you another fairy tale. But I must warn you, this one is really, really scary. So hold on to each other. It's about Rick Perry, the swaggering Texas governor who wants very, very much to be the Republican nominee for president. So, to get Republican primary voters to like him, he has been riding all across the country on a big horse he calls money, claiming that he will save people everywhere by shooting down the horror of Romney Care. What's that, you ask? It's the Massachusetts Health Insurance Plan, developed by Ramblin' Rick's presidential rival, Mitt Romney. Why is it dangerous? Because, explains Perry, it is, quote, the model for socialized medicine. Big bad government should not be involved in health care, he shouts at Republican rallies, declaring that the sainted free market is the best provider of insurance. That's how we do it in Texas, he brags, and here comes the scary part. I'll bring the Texas model to all of America. Oh boy, that would not be nice or healthy. Under Pericare, more than 6 million Texans, including 1.3 million children, are left with no health coverage at all, the highest rate of uninsured residents in the country. Also, the price that people must pay for insurance has nearly doubled under Perry's reign, and he has slashed state spending and curbed eligibility for programs to help hard-hit families get health services, including cutting 200,000 Texas children out of a program to assure that low-income youngsters get health care. So, children, beware of yee-hawing Texas politicos spreading tales of free market miracles. Texans themselves find nothing miraculous about Pericare, referring to it as the yo-yo plan. You're on your own. This is Jim Hightower saying, luckily, though, people can write their own happy ending to this scary fairy tale. Just don't vote for it.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Richard Bernstein, and I'm just so happy to have you back on the program today.
Tony, the pleasure is mine, and thank you so much for doing this show. Your voice and the work that you do is so desperately needed that it really is. It's just a privilege for me to be part of a show that's out there really spreading the voice, spreading the word the way that you are.
He's my publicist now, by the way, folks. Richard Bernstein is now my publicist. You know,
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after the hour. Feel free, we are open lines for the balance of the show, 888 888- 552-3595. We've actually had really good, healthy phone lines today. It's been kind of quiet the last few days. So going back to Friday, and today we've had real healthy phone lines, so feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever's on your mind, 888-552-3595. Whether it's the Occupy movement, whether it's charter schools or just education in general. Lots of other things we're going to get to. I'm going to introduce some of it now. Governor Rick Snyder says that, you know, there is one thing that we can do to change things that we're just not doing, and that's have a better positive attitude. Now, again, I'm not going to be cynical and say that there isn't some truth to that, because there is. I mean, we could have a better and more positive attitude. But, Governor, let me tell you that you need to give us reason to have a better, more positive attitude. If I saw legislation, or even proposed legislation, coming out of the state capitol that was appealing to the 99%, or even 50%, hell, I'd be happy with 30% at this point, I might think differently about making snide remarks, which I will not do, but it's not just about thinking positive. You know, I spent a part of my life as a motivational speaker, and I can tell you definitively that there's no way that we can just think positive and these problems go away. Okay? It's just not that simple. Now, again, I'm a positive person by nature. I think a lot of us are. And there's nothing wrong with being positive, but to say that, you know, we need to change the culture of the way we think is the answer. That is true, but we need reason to feel that way. Makes sense to you folks? I think it should. 888-552-3595. Let's go to the phone, and we'll welcome Reverend Stiles to the show. Reverend, blessings to you, and welcome to First Shift.
Thanks, Tony. It's good to hear your voice again.
Is this Dennis?
That's Dennis.
God bless you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I just wanted you to know how wonderful your show is.
Well, before you go on, I just want people to know, and I've not been a very good friend, number one, but Reverend Stiles was my spiritual advisor when I ran for Congress, and he was truly the only friend I had, with the exception of maybe two people, when I lost my election. And I want you to know that I've always felt that you were a blessing in my life, Reverend. There's no question that's true. I love you with all my heart, and I'm so glad to reconnect with you, even if it is on the air.
Oh, this is great. Listen, the reason I called is I want to make sure that there is a voice out there from the religious side of the house that supports unions and supports the movement that's going on with the Occupy people and the 99%ers. I just think it's fabulous that people in the United States are standing up and saying, no, I think I've had enough. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you for standing up and telling people the same thing. Because this is a grassroots movement, and I just think it's fantastic.
Well, I do too. And, you know, Reverend, I think it's important for people to understand that this is not, we were talking about this earlier in the show, this is not some hippie, pot-smoking, you know, free drug movement. This isn't some, you know, 1960s, go where the wind blows and let's see what we can change. That's not what this is about at all. This is about good, hardworking people wanting to be able to just basically take care of themselves. That's what this movement is about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. My dad's 86 years old now, Tony, and
God
I'll
bless
tell you
him.
What, the unions have given him dignity, and I'll never forget it.
God bless you. Listen, stay on the line. We're going to put you on hold. I want somebody to get your phone number so I can give you a call later on.
Yes, sir.
All right. The Reverend Dennis Stiles, amazing man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Guys, make sure you get a phone number for me. Just an amazing human being. Truly a touchstone and a blessing in my life. And what a wonderful way to reconnect. Just so glad to have done that. But, you know, folks, we take a look at the Occupy movement, whether you're going to do the one in Detroit, and let me give you that brief information. Folks, yesterday made this really complicated. This is not complicated. Friday at 4 o'clock, between 4 and 6, if you go to the Spirit of Detroit, downtown Detroit, there's going to be a group that's going to march from there to Grand Circus Park, where they will do their Occupy. It's that simple. Friday, 14th. That's it. That's all you need to know. People really made this hard yesterday. Don't make this any harder than it has to be. Got a lot of calls. Lots of calls yesterday. It's that simple. Lansing, simple still. The rally starts 10 o'clock on the Capitol steps. I will be emceeing that. If you'd like to come to that, come on up. No, there's not buses going, and there may be, but I'm not doing it. I'm just saying, find your way there. And then, you know, after that, they're going to have their occupy. They're going to be occupying a park, a couple. They already are, as I understand it, a couple blocks from the state capitol. But the rally is separate from the occupation. The rally is important. Watch it there. I want to see a lot of people there looking forward to it. Our friend Bruce Felk from the Rochester Citizen is going to be there. He's going to be talking about Alec. I talked to Bruce yesterday. A lot of people from Detroit are coming up. So 10 a.m. Saturday morning, that's all you need to know. Don't make this any harder than it is, because it's not hard. It's not hard. I posted a piece on our Facebook page yesterday, on the First Shift Facebook page yesterday, from The Nation, titled Occupy Wall Street, the Most Important Thing in the World Now. And I just want you to read it. It's actually a speech given by Naomi Klein. And it is the most important thing in the world right now, because it's about us. It's about us. It's about us feeling good about us. It's about us feeling like we're doing something. And we need this movement to grow. We need people to pay attention to it. And we need to move politicians. And we need to get them to show up at some of this stuff. And we need to start changing the conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you did not hear yet this morning, the United States Senate did not vote in favor of our president's American Jobs Act, which would have put more than 1.9 million people back to work. It would have built bridges and fixed roads and built schools and put teachers back to work and put firemen back to work and put policemen back to work and police women. It would have strengthened education. It would have strengthened communication. It would have continued to build our communication infrastructure throughout the entire United States of America, but instead we get zero, nothing. And so we show up to Occupy, not only to fight the injustice of Wall Street bailouts, not only to fight the injustice of those who got away with it without being prosecuted, we fight because our lawmakers no longer represent us. They collect a paycheck with our taxpayer dollars without representing what it is we want. Poll after poll after poll showed the American people wanted the American Jobs Act voted on, to vote yes, and to move forward. This was not a stimulus plan. It paid for itself. And yet Republicans are so hell-bent on not reelecting the President of the United States, that they are willing to gamble with the future of every single American. Well, that's not true. 99% of the Americans. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. So it is up to us to care about ourselves. Anyway, back to this piece in The Nation titled Occupy Wall Street, the Most Important Thing in the World Now. It is. It starts off, I love you. That's how it starts off. I love you. I didn't just say that so hundreds of you would shout, I love you back, though that is obviously a bonus feature of the human microphone. Say unto others what you would have them say unto you, only way louder. Yesterday, one of the speakers at the labor rally said, we found each other. That sentiment captures the beauty of what is being created here. A wide open space, as well as an idea so big it can't be contained by any space. For all the people who want a better world to find each other, we are so grateful, she writes. If there's one thing I know, it is that 1% loves a crisis. When people are panicked and desperate and no one seems to know what to do, that is the ideal time to push through their wish list of pro-corporate policies. privatizing education and Social Security, slashing public services, getting rid of loss constraints and on corporate power. Amidst the economic crisis, this is happening the world over. It goes on from there. And it is true, there is an economic crisis. And that crisis is that on any given day, somewhere in the world, not just in the United States, somewhere in the world, every single day, at every minute of every day, economic injustice, which is not, by the way, illegal. You can imagine why. But every minute of every day, economic injustice has ruined another's soul, has taken away opportunity, has forced people into poverty. Every single minute of every single day, while trillions of dollars are being held by 1%, trillions of dollars, children die because they're hungry. And they want to know why? They really want to know why? 888-552-3595. Give me a call. We got a few minutes left on the other side of this. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
We spend federal money to save money. Where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity.
I think you just did.
On 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hey, it's Mike Rome here with Fiona, a service advisor at Ford. You know what this is? Go ahead, Fiona, tell them.
$100 bill.
Ford is having some sort of big tire event. What are you guys calling it?
The big tire event.
Well, there it is. You've got all kinds of brands, and there's a $100 rebate?
Yes, there is.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
It's a big event, Mike.
It's enormous?
It is.
Ginormous?
Ginormous.
Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
I'm just so pleased to have on the show this morning Harry Lester, the boy from Bud.
Well, Tony, what I attempted to do, and I hope I did, was to try to actually depict the difference between now and then, or then and now. You know, when you look back at the 30s compared to what we're going through right now, and to let people know that, you know, this standard of living that we haven't always had it. There was a lot of sacrifices made from an awful lot of people to make sure that we had the greatest standard of living that the world's ever known. And that the sacrifices, in many cases, people went to jail, people went to the graveyard, people went to the hospital, and people went on to be leaders and great leaders in their unions and built this great standard of living that we enjoy.
Well, and there's no question, and that certainly is depicted in The Boy from Bud. Of course, that is referring to your hometown, which is Bud, West Virginia.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before we are through for today. I appreciate everybody that's been on with us today. It's been a pretty fantastic program today. If you want to join us, you got a little more time to do it. 888-552-3595. I got to try to get to some announcements in before we get out of here today. We got a lot to do, so let me just go right to the phones and get started. Let me welcome Doris in Flint. Doris, as always, a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for punching in.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Hey. Yes, I want to just comment real quickly on a few items that were mentioned. In my background, I've been a union organizer. I've been a member of a union. I've been a non-member of a union. I've been an entrepreneur who had a few employees that weren't union, so I've seen it from all sides. And I do know this, that the unions made it better for many people who were not in unions, particularly salaried people at corporations. When the unions got something, then they got something, and I think we should acknowledge that. The other thing is, when they talk about the rest of us hating the rich, that's kind of a decoy, because we're angry because we got robbed by people who had benefits and special loopholes and special privileges to get where they were and to have all that money, and I, for one, don't want to be like them. Basically, the concern is what has happened from those who have robbed us of our money, not that we're jealous. The other thing is, when they say that, we're jealous because we're not like them, maybe there's a little jealousy from those who aren't in a union, who don't have the benefits, and who should actually fight for those benefits that unions have done. The other thing is, when they say two Democrats did not vote for the bill, for the jobs bill,
yeah,
I always wish that they would say who they are. I know who they are, and I'm just going to mention it.
Yeah.
Max Baucus from Nebraska.
Yep.
John Tester from Montana.
And we'll tell people why. And Doris, I appreciate the call. The reason they voted against it, because the president isn't polling well in their states, and they knew that politically it was the thing they had to do. Isn't that a shame? That's why we fight. That's why we fight back. That's why we will continue to fight. Doris, as always, you're a treasure. Thank you so much for your comments. Let's move on. 888-552-3595. Greg and Warren joins us now. Greg, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony.
Good morning.
Real fast. You know, I'm a blue collar guy, local guy here in Michigan. I'm a UAW auto worker, and I work, unfortunately, with other blue-collar people who are Republican. And I have been asking these people now, and I'm going to throw this out there to the audience, too. If you're a working-class Republican, which is amazing to me that even exists, but anyway, if you are a working-class Republican, now that we've gotten all these people off of welfare, and now that we've laid off teachers and we've laid off police and fire and all that, why is it my taxes haven't gone down? How come your taxes haven't gone down? How come working class people, you know, we were told by the Republicans that we're broke and our economy is in shambles because of unions and because of all these people on welfare that are, you know, that are using up all the money. So we've eliminated all that. Where's my tax break?
Yeah, they don't have an answer for you, Greg, and because they don't know. Well, they don't know the issues. You know, that's the part that really bothers me is the same person you're talking.
Well, it's a lie.
Well, it is a lie, but they don't even understand the issues. They don't even know why they're Republicans.
Yeah, you're right about that.
They don't even know why. They have no clue. They're going to tell you. You know what they're going to tell you? Well, I'm protecting my Second Amendment rights, my gun rights. You know what? I know a lot of Democrats that are pro-gun. I'm a pro-gun Democrat.
So am I.
All right? So I'm not looking to take away anybody's gun. You know what? I think that abortions should be rare, but they should be legal. But I'd never tell anybody, go out and get one. So what does that make
me? Abortion shouldn't be a political issue. It's between you and your conscience, your
yeah,
God.
Absolutely. So, Greg,
moral issue.
Whatever their issues are, they don't know. They don't know why they're Republicans. What they need to do is wake up, and they need to remember solidarity. They need to remember what that means.
Because they're lemmings, Tony.
Well, we got to
stop. Every day they hit. They hit the reset button, and they go back to the same old Fox News mantra.
Well, folks,
they can't think for themselves.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you for the call. We just got a lot of calls to get in before the end of the show. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Lee in Pontiac joins us now. Lee, good morning to you.
Hi, Tony. Yesterday's program, you had a man call
call, and he was, you know, obviously a 99%er, I think he said he was, and he was supporting the 1%. He was condemning the march, and I would just like to say that he and people like him who are not the 1%, they're nothing but water boys for the 1%.
Well, again, you know, we were, and Lee, because we were saying, why do people support the 1%ers? And
they're water boys.
Yeah, and I don't get it. Brother, I just don't get it. I really don't. I mean, you know, Lee, I'm not looking to be wealthy. I'm not looking to live high on the hog. I don't want a mansion somewhere in the hills. I don't want a cement pond. All right? I want to make sure I got enough to take care of my family. I want to make sure that my family has enough to take care of themselves. And I want that for my neighbors as well. That's all I want. That's all I'm looking for. And in order for that to happen, those at the top have to make a commitment to those at the bottom. And that has to happen. It doesn't happen if they just hold on to their money so tightly. They don't let it go. It scares me. 888-552-3595. Actually, we're going to wrap it up here with John. John in Detroit joins us now. John, good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, those two senators who voted against the bill, shouldn't he primary them? Shouldn't those dinos be gone? I mean, the Democrats in name only.
Well, I'm going to tell you that in those states where I think one is in Nebraska, one was in, I don't remember the other state off the top of my head right now, but John, you know, that's something that they're going to have to reconcile with the people in their state. Fortunately, they were not Michigan Democrats. God forbid a Michigan Democrat do something like that. They were not Michigan Democrats, but yes, the people in those states, the Democrats in that state, need to be outraged that they didn't support not only their president, they didn't support their fellow Americans. The American Jobs Act is about protecting me and you, John.
Yeah, and the polls, Republicans support the infrastructure.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. But again, they did it for political reasons, because, and John, thank you for your call. Because the president's not polling well in those states. And so they thought, well, we can, you know, that's the political game they play. Well, we don't have to vote for this one because the president's not doing well and our vote won't matter. I'm serious. That's what happens. All right, just got an email. Linda sent me an email. Tonight, Wednesday, October 12th, 6 to 8 p.m., the Crowfoot Ballroom in Pontiac, a fundraiser or a rally for Planned Parenthood. 6 to 8 o'clock, just show up. Free appetizers, non-alcoholic beverages, cash bar. You can RSVP online. I just don't have all the information in front of me, but it's tonight. So go to the Crowfoot Ballroom, and if you want to support Planned Parenthood, as we always want to do here on First Shift.
Oh, yeah.
Hank Williams Jr. All right, that'll do it for us for today. I want to thank Anthony and Jeff for all their excellent work in putting today's show together. I want to thank, of course, you folks, because without you, this just it doesn't matter, and it matters. Go on, do it.
Oh, yeah.
Do it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's going to do it for us for today. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking a lot better out there on the freeways right now. 96 to Jeffries, though. Eastbound at 94. We have an accident there on the shoulder. Not really causing too much of a delay. 696 westbound between Coolidge and Evergreen. You're going to find some delays there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, a 50% chance of rain, cloudy, a high around 65. Tonight, clouds remain, a low around 54. And then tomorrow, 50% chance of showers, cloudy, a high in the mid-60s once again. Right now, it's foggy and 60 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities.